Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be with you. It is another live prophetic talk show. We'll do it more than talk about it. That is, we minister to you personally, and we love doing it. So, as always, thank God for our ability to do this. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Thank you, the glory and the honor and the thanks for all of it. All right, so we are, tonight is Wednesday night. Wednesday night is the night that we minister to everybody. And we don't spend much time talking. We don't spend any time talking, really, as far as once we start ministering to people personally. So that's that way we can make sure not miss anybody. At least once a week, we can hit everybody and that can call in. So that's the night. You're here. So what I do is I'll call your first. Call your number, you know, like whatever your error code is, first three digits, like 512-333, and then I'll say, you know, what's your first name, and, you know, where you're from, what state are you from, and once I do that, you'll tell me, and I'll mute you, and start prophesying and praying over you, so, yeah. The way that goes on Wednesday night. That way we go from caller to caller to caller and don't spend time talking. So thank you for understanding that. Those of you who've been with us for a while understand that. Some of the new people coming in. So maybe you've already been told that by the person that invited you to come in. And so it's true. That's what we do. We don't want to miss anybody. So we have once a week that we just... And yeah, we prophesy and minister over from 20 to 40 people. And one night, you know, time and time and time again. And it just depends on how many calls we have coming in and how, you know, what time zones, people calling later during the show. There's a time zone, so it works out really good if you're understanding what we're talking about tonight, what's going on. We are doing that. All right, last night we talked a little bit about, I was talking with somebody, I forget I was praying over or ministering, I think Jeff and Yuki, I think, from Colorado, and we were talking about prayer, we got into prayer, people, you know, spending hours praying, and, you know, which is always a great thing, it's all good, right? If you can get a breakthrough in 5 minutes and spend the rest of your day, you know, in fellowship with the Lord and whatever you do, that's really the key. So I think it's really, we're going to break that religious pride that I think sometimes we get when we, you know, talk about our prayer life and that kind of thing. I think it's sometimes can be a religious pride that gets in there. And so I think that, including myself, right, I'm including myself on that, and so I think that really what we're looking at here is, you know, I was talking with them last night. I just got this image in my mind of something I want to share again a little bit tonight. You know, we're talking about, you know, like, how do you know whether a word is from God or not? Because it has, is it because it has a scripture added to it? You know, because it has a scripture, does that mean that it's God? Because the whole word of God belongs to you? Well, we know that the whole word of God, basically one way or the other, belongs to us. There's some things that are for Israel, but we're spiritual Israel, right? So in a sense, we don't replace Israel, but we are spiritual Israel. Paul the Apostle made it very clear. He said, there are some Jews who are not really true Jews, and their blood is Jewish blood, right? And he even said, you know, about his own brethren, some of them are not real Jews. And so he explained what a real Jew is. And so once you understand that, you realize that the whole Bible belongs to you one way or the other. And so here, the key is what's the Father, what's the Holy Spirit speaking to you that belongs to you personally, right? Maybe belongs. We have some words that can belong to a group. We have people that can, you get words that can, out of Scripture, that can belong to a city, a nation, a church, you know, or like we said, to an individual. And so one of the things I want to really focus on, the power of this, and we talk about this off and on, but I really want to put it into your spirit. Paul the Apostle told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3, I think it's 3:16 or 3:18, somewhere there. And it's, he says to Timothy, he says, Timothy, go get the prophecies, not the prophecy, but the prophecies that you have received. In other words, personal prophecy that you have received. And, you know, get them and meditate on them, right? Get them and meditate on them so that you can fight a good fight. So, in other words, one of the things that I think most of the body of Christ is missing, including people who believe in prophecy, is because they're not understanding that, yes, the Word of God is the Word of God. The written Word of God is infallible. I mean, there's no question about that to me at all. Shouldn't be to anybody. But a lot of people question the infallible Word of God. I don't see how. But so it's infallible, right? So there's no question. I would never say the Word of God is not important. It's extremely important. But which word, which information, you know, belongs to you out of the Word? For each situation, it can be something different, right? So, you know, so what you begin to realize is that, you know, and when Paul told Timothy, he said, go get the prophecies. In other words, prophecies to him were words from the Lord that were words from the Lord. So the Bible is the Word from the Lord. Some prophet gave that, right, for the most part. You know, some people, not everything that was given was prophets, but a lot of the prophets gave a lot of the Word of God, a lot of the Old Testament. And then you had people who scribes who, you know, wrote about, you know, King David and documented all that. And, you know, so there was documentation of the Word, not necessarily, you know, everything a prophet said and did, but it's the Word of God. However you look at it, it's the Word of God. And so when we have the Word of God, and then you hear Paul the Apostle talking about, you know, prophecies that were given to Timothy and told Timothy to meditate on them, to eat them, to drink, to you know, just partake of them, you know, like he told Joshua to meditate on them day and night. Get them in you because they're going to help you fight the good fight, help you win the battle. So a lot of people are losing the battle because they don't understand how important prophecy is. Prophecy is one of the things that takes, you know, the Word of God, if you will. You might have to quote the Scripture, but if a prophecy comes from God, like we said before, it will be something that will be related to or in the Word of God one way or the other. It has to be, because when God speaks, he confirms his Word. That's what confirmation means, is it confirms the Word somehow or another, right? And takes, if you will, a word from God and puts your name on it saying, this is for you. Now, isn't that important? Wouldn't you think that would be important? You would think that people would go, man, that's important. If the Holy Spirit has given us gifts to the prophets and to those who prophesy, that when they prophesy, it's the Word of God, right? Yeah. So how important is that? Extremely important. And how it is despised. That's why the Bible says despise not prophesying. Why does he say despise not prophesying? Well, because, you know, people are despising the Word of God. It's like saying despise not the Word of God. Oh, I never would despise the Word of God, but prophecy, I don't know. You know, it's like, okay, but obviously we are not connecting prophecy, because there are people who prophesy out of their own spirit. We've seen a lot of that with the election. We've seen a lot of that. over the years. So in that sense, that's understandable. But in all truth, you know, when the gift of God is working, the Holy Spirit's working, and he's speaking to an individual, so they're speaking to them every day, once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, once every 3 months, however often he's speaking to you, when he's speaking to you, he's speaking to you. And God didn't want to just speak to you like one time, because I've heard people who criticize the prophetic say, well, how many words from God do you need? I don't know. How many times do you need to read the Bible? How many words of God from the Bible do you need? Oh, well, I hadn't thought about that. Exactly. Because they're not connecting that Paul the Apostle said to Timothy, go get those words. No, do we think Paul would give his favorite disciple, you know, some false information or some half-baked thing? He said, no, man, go get that. That is like the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Not like the Word of God. I'm even not saying it right. It is the Word of God in a different fashion by the Holy Spirit. It's, you know, everything in the Scripture is quickened by the Holy Spirit. It's been inspired, right, by the Holy Ghost, every bit of it. The Holy Ghost didn't just show up on the day of Pentecost. He's been here. He helped create the heavens and the earth. He helped create everything that's ever been created. He's always been here. So we have a pretty good person of the Holy Spirit, you know, who knows how to do some things, and we can trust him, right, because he's God. He's God the Spirit. We have God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know, we have that. We have all that. And so the big thing with us is learning how to take everything God has given us and realize that prophecy is the Word of God also. And just like the captain of the host of the army of the Lord told Joshua, what did he tell Joshua? Meditate on the words, on the command. Meditate on them. And when you meditate on them, you're going to be successful. What did Paul tell Timothy? When you meditate on your prophecy, you're going to be successful. In other words, you're going to fight a good fight. You know, if you say, well, I don't really believe when they said that to me, that was God. Because, you know, well, if they're not a proven prophet or proven prophesier, you know, then you know it's understandable that you question that. That's understandable. But when you have someone who's people, a group, or whatever, that are, you know, have testimony after testimony of how God has used them to give the word of the war, and then there should be a little bit more trust there, right? So when I'm not telling people just believe everything that everybody says is a prophecy, I'm even telling people don't even believe everything everybody gives you from the word of God. As for you, as for your circumstance, because just like Jesus told Satan in the wilderness when he's being tempted, when Satan quoted the word of God, Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, and said, "Cast yourself down, for the angels are going to take care of you. You know, you're not going to hurt yourself. You're going to be protected." So what do people do when they take words like that without knowing that it's God or not, and it's Scripture? They fall down to the ground and they suffer, they die, they perish. Well, he stood on. It was the word of God. It's the Word of God. It should be the Word of God for you. And that's our big thing. So prophecy, like Paul told Timothy, the words, the prophecies that you got for you personally, go and meditate on them, because in them you're going to find power to win your personal battle. Your personal battle. Now, I don't know about you, but if all you're concerned about is helping other people win their battles, you're messed up. But you know what? If you're not winning your battle, it's going to eventually take you down. So you have to focus on yourself in the sense that you have to, you must, just like Jesus had to focus on himself, knowing that if he didn't conquer, if he didn't win the battle, if he didn't win the temptation realm, being tempted in the wilderness, if he didn't win that, he wouldn't have gotten the power. The power was his. It was his spiritually. But when you go through a trial, like when Jesus went through that, it says he came out of the wilderness and went into Jerusalem endued with power. What did he do with? Why did he get endued with power? Because he conquered. Because he did the right thing. He told Satan when Satan quoted Psalms 91, or a very, what a scripture to quote to somebody, man. Everybody likes that one. That's God's going to protect you. Yeah, he's going to protect you. You are going to be protected. Just go ahead and do whatever. You're going to be protected. And boom, you fall to the ground. You wonder, where was God at? I was on the Word. I stood on the Word, but the Word didn't hold me up. So something's wrong with the Word of God. No. No. We have to be aware and like Jesus and go like, well, but it is also written. What I love about that scripture, we got into all this last night. So if you go back into the last night's show, you get all the scriptures for it, but it's really cool. He said, it is also written, because Satan gave him what was written in the Word of God. And Jesus said, but it is also written. And that's what we've got to have an ear for, friend, is what is also written had to do with what the real scripture, Deuteronomy 6:16, I think, says that do not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, and that's the scripture he came up with. And he won that battle. The move he made was that. It is also written. He didn't just say it's written. But he knew what was given to him by Satan was written. Psalm 91, verse 11, 12. So Jesus said, that's not right. But it's the Word of God. If it's the Word of God, it's got to be God. All right, so, you know, we're talking about this quite a bit right now. I want you to understand. This is extremely important right now. I don't know why it's like God is telling me to warn his people. I feel like I'm warning people in a way to please be careful of what you do with God. It's just saying some scripture because it's in the Bible. It belongs to you. You can do whatever you want to with the Word of God. You can do whatever you want to with the Word of God? I don't think so. I don't think we do whatever we want with the Word of God. I think we go to the Father, to the one who wrote it, and we go to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, is it written somewhere else? Is it also written for me something different than this? Psalm 91, man, who couldn't claim that one? But you can't claim Psalm 91 on every little project you get on and think that that's going to protect you. Right? That's what Satan was doing with Jesus. You're protected, man. I got a scripture for you. Go ahead, you know. Could Jesus jump off there if the Lord wanted him to, and would the angels catch him and make a, you know, get it all on video and say, look at this. Yeah. He has to say, Jesus would have to say, don't try this at home unless God tells you. But he didn't do that. So, but most people do. They get married to people. They do business deals. They go do things that, you know, they're just taking the scripture and saying, I'm going to stand the Lord of God and I'm going to do, by golly, whatever I want to do because I got the Word of God. And Jesus said, but it is also written. The Holy Spirit breathed in his ear and said, this is a temptation and here's the scripture for it. In other words, the Holy Spirit was saying, yeah. Then Jesus goes, oh, yeah, okay. So my Father says it is also written. Not tempt the Lord thy God. Wow. Amazing. So how do we know? People say you can know because you feel the anointing. Well, that's a good one, and I like that, but it's not foolproof. How many of you have ever had goosebumps? You know, and I've had plenty of goosebumps. And, you know, you can have goosebumps for a lot of different reasons. I mean, I've gotten goosebumps by almost having a car accident, so to speak. Right? So just because you feel something, it's a wonderful feel, and I'm a feeler kind of person. I love feeling the anointing. Who doesn't? But you know what? I even heard somebody talking today, a well-known man of God that some of you might know, made a statement, and he said to me, he said, not to me, but the Spirit of God was speaking to me when he said that he was talking about what I've been talking about. I was totally shocked. Benny Hinn was on Pat Robertson's show today, Christian Broadcasting Network, CBN. And he said, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it, because I want to give him credit for this because I thought it was really cool. He said, we have the anointing upon us. He said, you can feel that. This is literally what he said. I could not believe it, because that's what we were talking last night about not, if you don't, just because you don't feel the anointing. Many times I have not felt a thing, given words, given powerful words to people, and didn't feel a thing. No anointing at all on the outside. And it just came to pass, happened. It's mind-boggling, mind-blowing. Wow. And Benny Hinn today said, I thought it was really cool because he's experienced with the anointing. He said the anointing from within is not necessarily felt, but the anointing from without is more of feeling, which is a good, you know, a good feeling. Nothing wrong with feeling. He wasn't criticizing it, and nor am I. And who doesn't want to feel the anointing? We all do. But is it confirmation on everything you're doing? You know, because you're feeling something that you think is the anointing or feels like the anointing? Friend, I'm telling you, God is saying the anointing from within. The anointing from within. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, according to the fact, he said, God will do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think or even imagine, according to the power that works within you. So there's the anointing from without. This is what Benny Hinn was talking about today. And I'm repeating a lot of what he said because I said sort of the same thing last night, that the anointing from without you can feel. And I've had the anointing come on me, and I'm praying for people, and they go, man, I feel the anointing. Some people can feel the anointing when I don't feel the anointing. I give them a word, they feel the anointing, man. They're like, you know, almost getting slain in the spirit. And I'm just like, you know, I'm not really feeling that always. Many times I do, and many times I don't. But some people depend on, if they don't have the anointing on it, you don't feel the anointing, it's not God. Well, that's not true. Because the anointing, like Benny Hinn even said today, the anointing from within, he said, you don't necessarily feel that. And that's what I was talking about last night, that I've given words and didn't feel a thing, and yet it just boom, 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 came to pass, powerful, wonderful, my God, what was that? It was amazing. And just watch the Lord do it. Because the anointing from within is different from the anointing without. If you're always depending on anointing from without, you know, you may not have it always. Well, that wasn't God because I didn't feel a thing. So is it good to go by the feeling of the anointing? It's awesome. Who doesn't love that? I love it. But we can't depend on that as a confirmation of whether the scripture we're reading or a word we're getting is from God or not. Even if you feel what is the anointing or seem like, sometimes I've had the anointing come on me and it had nothing to do with confirmation of something. It just had to do with like almost like God sometimes trying to protect me from that scriptural-based word that I was getting from somebody that I wasn't sure it was from God or not, and the anointing came on me to protect me from it. Why would God protect you from his own word? Because when a word is done like what Satan did with Jesus, what is it? It's given to you by the enemy, one way or the other. And friend, I'm telling you, the reason that God is impressing this so strongly is because, you know, I'm obsessed with this right now. And I'm obsessed with some other things too, but this is the main obsession. Because we are entering into a season where if you have all these little things that you depend on to tell you whether you hear from God or not, it ain't going to work anymore. Can't go by that anymore. Oh, no, that's where God felt it. You know, I felt the anointing in me because God was trying to protect me from the information being given to me. Well, I had to understand the anointing was there that I felt wasn't confirmation of the word. It was protection from because when Satan was giving Jesus the word, it was to misguide him. Now, I don't think people do it on purpose. Of course they don't do it on purpose. But just like Peter wasn't trying to lead Jesus astray when he told him, you can't die, we need you. You're the Messiah. The Messiah's not going to die. He's going to live. He wasn't trying to misguide. He personally wasn't trying to misguide Jesus. Of course he wasn't. It's like people don't when they give you stuff. But Satan was there, and Jesus saw Satan. He goes, yeah. Because partially what Peter was saying was biblical. The Son of Man, the Messiah, is going to rule the throne of David. Because that's what the angel told Mary. When the angel came to Mary, he told her that he's going to rule the throne of David forever. Well, they took that and ran with that, just like we do sometimes. Let me get that and read that to you. Okay, y'all into this with me tonight? Or y'all want to learn about this? I think you do. We just have one. It's enough for me. All right. Gabriel, say. All right. Okay, here's one place to get the scripture. Isaiah 9:7. Isaiah foresaw the day of the Messiah. Let's see, that's not what I want. That's not a scripture. Isaiah 9:7. Let me go. Hang on a second here. Give me a moment. Isaiah 9:7. Oh, Felicia says she's going to give twice because the teaching's so awesome. Thank you, Felicia. Is that one of the things? Hey, man, I love that. Maybe that'll catch on. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. What did I say that was? What did I say? Isaiah 16. What did I say that was? Isaiah 9:7. Y'all going to have to help me out a little bit. All right. I'm enjoying it, too, so thank you for saying that. And I know that people are enjoying it, too. Maybe they can't respond right now. Okay, let's read Isaiah 9:7. It says, King James says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment with him henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts hath performed it. So this is what they said. This is what the Jewish people taught about the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, this is what Peter believed when he was telling Jesus, you can't die, you're the Messiah. Why do you keep saying that, Jesus? You're going to die. The Messiah is going to rule on the throne of David forever. So they had a scripture. They were standing on a word, and that word, you know, even though is the word of God not the word of God? Is this really going to happen? Of course it's really going to happen. But what does it mean? What timing does it apply to? Does it apply to the coming of Christ when he comes the first time? Or does it apply to the second time? See, they're applying it to the when he comes. And so they're misapplying it, like we do. I'm talking about all of us. I'm not just talking about those dumb people out there. I'm talking about us, all of us. Put yourself in all of us. I put myself in all of us. The Lord's trying to teach me, too. And then the angel Gabriel said the same thing. Said the same thing to Mary. In other words, he was quoting the scripture. If I can find it. The Gospel of Luke. Okay, let's read. Here it is right there. Here's where they got all this. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to the town. Okay. Hail Mary, full of grace. Son of Most High, and the Lord God will give him the... Okay, here it is right. He will be great, talking about Jesus, the Messiah, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. So you see, it's not like they were like making up stuff. No, they weren't making up anything. This is Luke 1, 20, verse 27, 26 through 28. All right, so you see what I'm saying? So, but it didn't, and because they misapplied it, Satan used Peter to oppress Jesus and tell him, you know, you can't die because of what the scripture said. Now, in other words, Peter is, in a sense, prophesying to Jesus, who is the Word, telling him what thus saith the Lord is, except it's not thus saith the Lord for now, it's thus saith the Lord for later. And Satan was using that scripture, was using that belief system of the Jewish people who took the Word of God, you know, it was the Word, but and misapplied it. And therefore, I think that's one reason that Peter denied the Lord in the first place. Because when the pressure got on him, he'd been trying to tell Jesus, you know, maybe he, you know, that he's, you know, he quoted Isaiah. I'm sure he read Isaiah 9:7 to him and said, hey, you haven't read this lately? Maybe you should read this, Jesus. You're not supposed to die. You can't die. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. What was happening? Satan, again, if you will, was using the Word of God and using somebody who loved Jesus. So I'm not talking about some really horrible people with horns giving you words. I'm talking about people that are just God-fearing, wonderful, nice people that love you
And I'm not saying be leery of everybody and be weary of everybody. I'm just saying for all of us, God is going to teach us how to know, just like when Jesus knew later on, the same Peter who told Jesus that he wasn't going to die, and he was quoting, I'm sure he's quoting Isaiah 9:7 to him, or Satan was doing it through him. Satan was giving Peter the scripture and saying, you know, you can't, this, you know, the word of God in our, all of our teachers teach about the Messiah that he's not going to die. So, and you can't. And Jesus said, Satan, get behind me. So there we see again where scripture was being used, and yet it was not of God. And later, I think, I don't have any proof of it, that Peter denied the Lord because when the pressure came on him, he thought, well, if the Messiah in the scripture says that he's going to rule on the throne of David forever, and he's not ruling on the throne of David forever because he's dead, how's that going to happen? So he probably just said, I'm not going to die over this guy. He's not, you know, he could very possibly not be the man. What do I want to die for that for? See what I'm saying? So that opened the door for Peter to deny the Lord. And this is what happens, y'all, with scripture. When we try to stand on something that's for the millennium or for, you know, a certain group of people, or so for maybe for some scripture may be for the Jewish people and not always be for us. You know, I don't know. I'm just saying that you can take scripture and misapply it and stand on it all your life. And the thing never come to pass, because you know what? Faith doesn't come by the word of God. Faith does not come by the word. I'm sorry. That's not what it says. It says faith comes by hearing. What is hearing? When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, not Isaiah 9:7, you know, but Isaiah 53. That's the scripture Peter needed to be reading and looking into and understanding, where Christ was going to suffer and die, and where David prophesied of Christ that he would say, why have you forsaken me? Those are the scriptures that he should have been getting. But no, he's doing like we do. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Are y'all with me? Are you seeing this? I mean, so this is for all of us. This isn't just for, you know, it's for everybody. I don't want to just say that's for all the dumb Baptists. I'm sure he's Baptist, so I can talk about him like that. You know, it's for everybody. It's for all of us. Yeah. So God is going to awaken us this, and we're going to learn that when Jesus heard Peter say, thou art the Christ, and the Father had just revealed it to Peter, there came a witness in Jesus that he recognized the voice. He recognized the way it came out of Peter, the way it resonated in Jesus, it bore witness with him that Peter just wasn't quoting the scripture that, yeah, you're the Messiah, Lord, yeah, you're the Messiah, like everybody else is saying, like not everybody, but his disciples, you know, they were all kind of, yeah, he's Messiah, and the scripture here, the scripture there. He knew Peter wasn't quoting the scripture or thinking of a scripture. He had heard from the Father, and the Father, yes, if you will, quoted a scripture without saying, I don't think the Father said, oh, yeah, that's over there, you know, Isaiah 53, you know, or whatever. I don't think the Father did that to him. I think he said, he just told him right out, this is Christ Jesus, who you're sitting right in front of you. He is the Messiah, the anointed one of God. And Peter goes, wow. Jesus said, yeah, you got it. You got that from the Father. And this is what I'm talking about, prayer. We're going to, by the grace of God, open ourselves up to, now that we're getting this teaching and God is helping us to understand this, to know that, to just be aware that there's more than just the Word of God. Faith does not come by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Holy Spirit tell you the Word of God. In other words, When Isaiah 9:7 was given to Peter to tell Jesus, that was no faith in that, and Jesus felt there was no faith in that scripture because that scripture, you know, it doesn't apply to him. And until later, it applies to him, but it applies for a different time. So faith comes when Now, when Jesus heard Peter say, "Thou art the Christ," Jesus felt the faith in that, in his spirit. Oh, that was faith. That came from faith. Why was it faith? Why was Isaiah 9:7 not faith? Because it wasn't God speaking. It was him quoting the scripture. Jesus told the Pharisees and all those guys, he said, you think through the scripture you have eternal life, and he said eternal life is sitting right here in front of you. I am the one that's talking about. And yet they had scripture, but they couldn't even see that the very person in front of them was him. Just like you and I. Like, we got our mind made up, we know what the scripture means, and we can be believing something wrong, going the wrong direction, and not even know it, just thinking we're just so proud of ourselves. We're going, yeah, we're going to Zion. Wonderful, wonderful Zion. And we ain't going to Zion, not the Zion that God's talking about. Because if it's not quickened by the Holy Spirit, your faith, there's no real faith in it. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, friend, by the Holy Spirit going, this is what comes out of the mouth of God. Jesus got things from the mouth of God and spoke from the mouth of God. He was telling him from the mouth of God the scriptures that spoke about him, that he was going to die, but they couldn't hear it. You know why? Because they already had their mind up on other scriptures. Like Isaiah 9:7. That's what they were hung up on. Because even the angel told Mary, that was kind of confirmation. Most of them, angel, Mary's telling everybody, yeah, the angel told me that, and I'm sure Mary believed it too. It's because she was, a virgin before she had Jesus. Didn't mean she was perfect. Right? All my Catholic friends might get mad at me, but that, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, she probably believed that too because the angel told her, yeah. I just read it to you. Right? Luke. As you rule the throne of dead forever. So that confirmed her. Yeah, we've been hearing that from the teachers of Israel all these years. And now look at that confirmation. You and I do the confirmation. Yeah, there's confirmation from the angel. Paul the apostle said, if any angel from heaven, any says you something that's not of God, it's just not of God. Doesn't matter if an angel told you or quote an angel unquote told you that. Doesn't make any difference. Well, this angel was telling the truth, but they misunderstood it. So there was no faith in that when Peter was telling Jesus the first time. There was no faith in that scripture, Isaiah 9:7, because it didn't apply to him now. It applied to him later. And he had his eyes on what's going on now. Give me something for now, Peter. And when Jesus heard Peter say from the Father, the quickened, life-giving, out of the mouth of God word for Jesus, he recognized it because faith comes by hearing the word, not just listening to it. I listen to the Bible all the time on my Bible. That doesn't mean you're hearing it because you're listening to it. Listening to it's one thing. Reading it's another thing. But hearing it is what God is saying. What is it saying to you? What's it saying to me? I'm not led and guided by the Word of God. Word of God does not lead and guide me. Right? That sounds blasphemous, right? The Holy Spirit leads. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's going to lead and guide you. How does he lead and guide you? By the Word. But it's by the Word that is quickened. It's by the Word that comes out of the mouth of God because it's the thing that's going to feed you. If it's not feeding you, then it's dead. There's dead word and there's living word, and it comes alive when the Holy Spirit says, this is for you, man. You've had one of those, right? You've had many of those, maybe. Oh, my God, you feel that? Oh, man, I can eat on that for days. I've literally, when I get revelation from heaven, I mean, it's like amazing to me. I get excited. I could run around the room a bunch of times from the energy from that word. Why? Because it's quickened information from God. It's not dead. It's alive. It doesn't mean goosebumpy anointing either. Goosebumpy anointing, I love goosebumpy anointing. Are you kidding me? Who doesn't? But you can't just say, if it doesn't have that, then it's not God, because that's not true. And you could be deceived by that. And when I heard Ben Hinn say this today, I just happened to watch CBN today on the channel, I don't know what channel it was, Christian Broadcast Network. Pat Robertson Stone's on there. He said, I got Benny Hinn on today. Said, oh, this might be interesting. He looks horrible in my opinion. He's just getting older, I guess. And maybe I look horrible. I'm looking horrible too. I don't know, but who cares? But you know, it was really cool what he said. Talking about the anointing upon us, which you can feel that, the anointing from within you. He said this. But that's not necessarily what you feel. He said you don't feel that one. I'm not saying you don't feel it sometimes. I'm saying you probably do feel it sometimes. But you don't. It's not. You don't have to for it to be from God. We got to get all these. We've gotten pretty religious about how we confirm our words from God. You know, and I've had mine, and I've taught them, and they're wrong. Okay, I'm telling you right now, God's straightening my hide out. When you got a responsibility to minister to people, whether it's 10 people or a million people, you know, people's blood is on my hands. I don't want them to be guided by the Scripture. I want them to be guided by the Holy Spirit, who quickens the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit not going to quicken anything with the Word of God. There's nothing else to quicken. The Word of God is it, man. That's all the Holy Ghost has got. He may not quote it to you, but it's coming from there somehow or another. Has to. Yeah. All right. So let's move on and let's pray for people tonight. Thank you for being with us. I thank God for, I get a little response here and there. Thank you for that. Maybe some people don't agree with it. I don't know. But it's amazing to me. Amazing to me, man. I'm just learning big time. Okay, let's take callers now. Thank you for being with us. And really good to be with you guys tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for everything that you do, and God is speaking to you tonight. Hopefully you're able to hear him about this particular thing, I'm hoping. So there you go. All right. Okay. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All right. Okay, so we're going to start ministering to you personally tonight. We're going to do what Paul talked about Timothy. He's going to give you words. I'm going to prophesy to you by the Holy Spirit. And, I got so many things I want to share. I could go on for another hour. Easy. But I disciplined myself. I could preach for hours. Literally, I prophesied for 6 hours one time without stopping, without going to the bathroom. That was amazing. That was amazing. And that's a documented fact, too. My home pastor was there. He went along with me for about 3 hours. In 3 hours, he said, I don't know how you did it. I mean, he could even sit in his chair early, like falling over asleep. And I went three more. He said, you went 3 more hours after I helped you for 3 hours. I'm like, yeah. I don't know, man. Don't ask me. Energy. Holy Ghost energy. The people stayed there that long. That is what amazed me. There's 6 hours, y'all. We go 4 hours here on PGN from 9 to 1 o'clock. We don't go 4 hours every night. Sometimes three, sometimes two, but most time, 2.5, 3 hours. Many times 4 hours. All right. Okay. Let's take calls. I'm gonna call your number. My first caller tonight is 610-969. Second caller is 325-280. Next one is 863-268. And after that, it's 612-805. After that, 804-218. After that, 585-4436, after that 814-58, after that 769, after that 919, after that 8857, after that 954, after that 803, after that 709, after that 972, after that 903, 808, after that 525, after that 850, after that 720, 682, after that 951, 966, after that is it. There are some don't have their hands up. Ten or eleven people have their hand up, something like that. All right, so you can get your hand up later, I guess, whatever you want to do. All right, so we're going to call up these
number, these numbers, and ask for your first name and what state you're from, and that you have some really quick prayer requests. No, we're not going to talk, okay? No talking. This is for the people of God tonight. And thank you for understanding it. Okay. All right. All right, thank you. Okay. Gotcha. Awesome. All right. Let's go here tonight. 972 got disconnected, so we're going to go after for my first couple of callers. I think I'll take you guys third. Oh, you're 214. You're 214-646? Oh, okay. I see 972-695, but I don't see 214 on there anymore. It was on there earlier. Yeah, you're right. You know, I did see you on there earlier. Yes, I saw the 214 number. That's true. I did see that. Okay. All right, awesome. All right. We will get you second. We'll get you third. After 325, we'll do 610 first, 325 second, and then I'll take, I think y'all are on 695 right now, I think. All right, praise God. Let's do this. All right. 610-969, who would talk to you from, please? All right. I think they're cutting some lumber or something over there. Yeah. Sawing some logs, maybe. Ripping some 2x4s. I'm sorry. That's just too good. All right, 610. Whoever you are, I don't know who this is, but thank you, Jesus, for 610. Thank you, Lord. I just bless you tonight, and yeah. Okay, so we just pray for them, and then go back and listen to it. All right, thank you, Jesus, for 610 tonight, God, that you will cause them to be, you know, like we're talking about tonight, being a life-quickening word of God, that you're going to make this person a life-quickening word, that when they speak the word of God, when they speak, when they give scripture, when they give prayer, when they give intercession, they're going to speak the words out of the mouth of God, not just dead word, right, but living word. Because the word of God is dead until it comes alive. If the Holy Spirit didn't raise Jesus from the dead, he would have been raised. Right, he would have been dead. He would have stayed dead. Right, but he didn't because the Holy Spirit rose him from the dead. Right, yeah. And so that same thing. And so, like when Jesus spoke, he didn't just speak scriptures, you know, to be giving scriptures. Oh, I got a scripture on that. Well, what good does that do if it's not a life-giving scripture? If it's not coming from the Holy Spirit, it's not coming from the mouth of God. And so I thank the Lord for my friend here tonight, God, being one of those vessels that's used to speak a life-quickening word and life-quickening information, and that they learn to discern even when they're giving words that are dead words. Because sometimes we just give words that are dead. We just give a scripture because we got a scripture. Well, what good is that going to do about it? Faith doesn't come from that. Faith comes from hearing the word, right? From hearing what the word says to you. When you hear what the word says to you, what does it do? It builds you up. You know, I mean, people all the time say, I read the scripture. If reading the scripture itself, just reading it, you hear people say this all the time, man. It's just, you know, I mean, I love the word, I read the word, but it's like dead to me.
Yeah, and then one day they woke up and go, oh, my God, the Holy Spirit just showed me something yesterday about the Word. And it brought life to me. I go, yeah, that's the difference. That's the difference. It's amazing, the difference. And so you don't always have to feel the power when the Holy Spirit quickens it to you, but sometimes if you do, it's awesome, right? We live by faith, man. I'm not saying we don't have feelings. We have all kinds of feelings going on. But feelings or no feelings, God still moves, and God still. And I thank you, Lord, for sharing this with my friend that can know how to know the difference between a living word and a dead word, and a word that the Holy Spirit's quickening, coming out of the mouth of God, and their own words just because, you know, they got a scripture on it. Let may the Holy Spirit in the mouth of God breathe through them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 325-280. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Father, we thank you for the manufacturing of things, like manufacturing things. Let me see. Even in manufacturing, let me go here. Okay. Manufacturing, you know, I don't know what manufacturing word has to do with anything, but we're going to go, let's see what happens here. Manufacturing, the making of articles on a large scale using machinery, industrial production. One of the things that it means, manufacturing, so the three types of manufacturing, the three main types of manufacturing production, to make stock, make to stock, MTS, make to order, MPO, make to assemble. Okay. So I guess manufacturing may just mean. Thing, molding, machinery, joining, shearing, and forming. The four main types of manufacturing are casting, molding, machining, joining, shearing, and forming. I don't know what this has to do with anything, bro. But, maybe something in the future. I really don't know what this is, but thank you, Lord, for that. Okay, to make the making of articles of a large scale using machinery, industrial production. That's an unusual word. Really cool. All right. The word, one of the, with a one word definition for manufacturing. Manufacturing means making or building. Okay. What is one word definition for manufacturing? Okay. Chris, here you go. Manufacturing means making or building. But it's most often used to refer to an automated process of putting something together from parts. For example, your uncle might work in an automobile manufacturing, in other words, at a car factory. So it's putting together of parts. Putting something together from parts. Manufacturing means making or building. Okay, so that speaks a little bit more to what I would say I think is good, because it's manufacturing is making or building. So maybe you're going to build something. Start putting something together. You know, I guess you could say building a house or building a, you know, you can build a lot of things. So I don't know. But there's obviously an anointing for you to do that, or God wouldn't be saying that. And I like the one word meaning. That's really cool. I'm glad I read that. Yeah, that was really cool. Now where'd it go? I lost it. Anyway, there it is. So, okay, there it is. Yeah, the one word for definition of manufacturing, making or building. All right. We'll see. Pretty interesting. Putting something together. putting stuff together and making it work. So we thank you, Lord, for however this is, however this applies to my brother tonight, Lord, I don't know. But the putting things together, building, manufacturing, building things, building, maybe building a house, maybe building, you know, stuff, putting stuff together. You like, it's like you've got an anointing for building, for making things. For making, yeah. Manufacturing means making or building. So, Lord, I just loosened that in my brother tonight, God. What an unusual word, manufacturing. That just came right out of my mouth, by the way, and I wasn't even sure exactly all the meanings to that. I'm glad I looked. Thank you, Lord, for that building. For that, you know, Paul the Apostle was a builder. He built people. He built churches. He built, so there's different ways to build things. And so thank you, Lord, for, you know, I don't know how you can stretch that word. I don't want to go the wrong direction with it, but as you quicken this to my brother, God, in Jesus' name, the ability in him to put things together and make something work, putting things together to build an edifice of some sort, whether that's in the natural, the spiritual realm, you know, whatever, socially, being able to build and manufacture and put parts together. Like, you know, like in a sense, the Holy Spirit takes different parts of the body of Christ and he puts them together. That's kind of like manufacturing in one sense, right? I'm really spiritualizing this right now. But it's putting things together. It's having an ability to put things together and fit them together and make them work and put them into a thing that can be inhabited or used or whatever. So it's like that could even be done with money and finances and businesses and things like that, but putting things together. So, Lord, brother, I don't know. Man, that was kind of cool and different. But thank you, Jesus, for opening him up to that, and that maybe you can look at that word up yourself and kind of meditate on it. It's like what Paul the Apostle told Timothy, to meditate on the words. Sometimes meditating on the words is when we get life out of it, because our first thought process about manufacturing is like, you know, like some of the stuff I read, but that didn't really hit me. It hit me, but not as much as it did about building and making things, making and building. Hallelujah. Manufacturing, putting parts together, putting things together and making them work, putting people together and making them work, you know, putting things together and where it can be used, you know, like when Moses built the tabernacle. I mean, God gave him parts, and then he had people who put those parts together and made it into the house of God. So, I don't know. Anyway. All right, bro. That's it. All right. All right, 863-268. I'm going to talk to you real quick, please.
Hey, Randy. It's Charles and Nikki.
All right. I think either Charles or you tried to call me today. I think you said Charles in there, but I texted you about that a little bit ago. I called on the phone, and you know, I did see that. So I don't know what's up. Hopefully everything's good. But I saw your little note on your giving on the app. So about his trip to what I think it was Uganda. So he needs money for that. All right, we're gonna disagree with you guys tonight for that. And we just bless that, and I'm sure we can help with that some another. I'm sure somebody want to help, we'll help. Somebody will help. We're going to pray about it. Thank you, Jesus, for causing that to happen, Father, in Jesus' name, and building that, and putting that together, causing that to come together for Charles and for what he's doing, and stepping out and reaching out, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bring the blessing. Bring it up out of abundance. Open it up. Rain it down on him, God. In Jesus' name, and cause them to, you know, just, you know, move into a new place. In Jesus' name, move into a new place. Move into a new place. I don't know if that's literal or just a spiritual thing, maybe both. Moving into a new place. Moving into a new place. That's the word. I heard that and it caught my attention. And moving into a new place. Usually we say moving into a new place, it can be spiritual, but, you know. So we thank you, Lord, for that. Open that up in Jesus' name. Amen. Bring that provision for Charles, Father. I mean, I don't know. You didn't say when he was going or anything, but let me know, you know, how much he needs, what's going on, and we'll pray the specific amount for you. All right? Once you can text that to me. And the amount that he's until this happens, we'll be able to, because I like having a mouse, because I like to pray over a mouse so that you pray specifically for what you need. Amen. All right. And we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And for Nikki tonight, God, we thank you, Lord, for blessing her, God, and allowing her power of agreement coming to another level, your power of agreement. The Bible says when two or more come into agreement, it shall be done. You know, so there's no question, no wondering, but when you have the power of agreement. You know, and that's what I was talking about. I've been talking about this in the light of the Babylonian church, which thinks they have to have, you know, 50 people or 50,000 people or 50 million people. The more people we got agreeing, you know, in the way it's going, and that is a bunch of bull if I've ever heard it. More we got agreeing on this, Martin. Yeah, I kind of see the logic with that. But biblically, you know, basically, I mean, the Bible says whichever two or more agree is touching something, it shall be done. Like, if you get a word from God and the whole world disagrees with that word that's in the past is a word from God. Whether you got any agreement with anybody or not, it's if you and the Lord. You see what I'm saying? So we're going to come out of that thing of how many people we got. The more we got, the more powerful we are. That's building Babylon. You know, and then God confused them and messed that up big time. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, our mentality, sometimes we think we could have a bunch of people, so God's really going to open you up and show you how to, you know, two or more agree in touching them. If you get a word from God, not just a Bible scripture, but a word from God. A word from God is something you hear from the Holy Spirit about the word, not something that we just come up because our mind came up with it. It's something the Holy Spirit said. In Jesus' name, amen. And those words create faith. That's why a lot of people don't have faith to do what they're doing. You know why? Because it's not, it's a dead word. It's not a living word. In other words, it's not the, like the scripture we gave earlier about Isaiah 9:7 about the Messiah ruling forever on the throne of David. They applied it to Jesus that he wasn't going to die, right? Misplaced scripture is dead. And when Jesus got hit with that, he went, that's dead. What's living is when you got it from the Father. That's living. That creates faith. And when God gives a word or breathes a word on you, it creates faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing the word, not just the word of God itself. What it says. Oh, I got a word on it. That's it. No. If I confess it 55 times, you don't have to confess. When it gets from God, you don't have to confess it at all. Have to. You can, and it's great. But when God says he's going to do something, you just say, this is what the Lord says, that's it. Watch it happen. Right? we got to start listening to the Word of God more, I think, on this stuff, and including me. Yeah, of course me. Not more than anybody. All right, 612-805. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Hang on a second. 612-805. I messed up on that. Okay, where Terrence and Tanisha go? They got knocked off, and I saw them there earlier. All right, here we go. All right, 972-695. Y'all still there?
We're still here. Hey, Randy. Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for Terrence and Tanisha. God, I thank you for Tanisha tonight, God, that the supply. Okay, let me, there's a scripture about that. The supply. Yes. Oh, that is it. Oh, that was a good, the Holy Ghost. I mean, that Philippians 1:19. I don't know what this says exactly, but I think this is the one. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Whoa. I don't even know if that's exactly the thing I was thinking about, but okay, because the one version says, let me see the one that says the supply. See if it's there. There it is. Okay. Okay, no wonder it's the King James Version. Yes. Okay, that's where I got that from. Wow, Tanisha, this is cool, man. All right, this is Philippians 1:19. This is really hot. I'm going to read the King James to you. It says, for I know that I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Listen to this very closely. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply. That's what I heard was the supply of the Spirit. That's the word that I heard when I Googled the supply of the Spirit. This is where it took me to the right place. Thank you, Jesus. For your prayer and the supply of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. The New King James Version says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's look this up and see what it's talking about. All right, let's look at verse 18, the verse above this. Paul's trials advances the gospel. That's the heading here. What then is the issue? Just this, that in every way, whether by false motives or truth, Christ, he's talking about how some people preach the gospel out of false motives or out of truth. He said, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will continue to rejoice, because I know that through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit, because that's what I heard the word, the provision of the Spirit, the supply of the Spirit, I'm sorry, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, my distress will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will be complete boldness, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Wow, that's awesome, man. About the supply of the Spirit. So, and what I was hearing was with that Spirit was like God's going to supply you. It's supplying you. You have a supply of the Spirit. In other words, you know, what was happening here was, I kind of know what this is now. Paul had been, you know, people had been preaching the gospel just out of wrong motive, just to be preaching it. They weren't really preaching it with right motive. Some of them were, he even says here, whether by false motive they were preaching the gospel or true, Christ is preached, because he was talking about how it was messing with him. It was causing him problems because these people were preaching things wrong. And he said, because of that, through your prayers, in other words, this is really affecting me and affecting the ministry, that through your prayers, the supply of the and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, my distress will turn out for my deliverance. Right. So he wasn't preaching the gospel out of false motives and truth. He was the one preaching out of true motives. But the things that other people were doing out of false motive was messing with him, oppressing him, and he was needing, you know, the supply of the Spirit and people's prayers through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Christ, my distress will turn out for deliverance. So, pretty powerful word. I'm not going to add to that or take away from that, but very, very awesome. Very awesome. Okay. And maybe for both of you too, but thank you, Lord. And for Terrence, God, we thank you for Terrence, God. We thank you for this whole thing about the supply. I'm going to hit this in a different area for Terrence, like the supply of the Spirit. Like, because when I first saw the word supply in my mind when I prayed, when I heard your voice, was that like God is supplying. I see supply. Parents, I see supply. God is supplying for you. And it's the Spirit of God doing it. It's not just, you know, God may use people, because he said through prayers, through the prayers of people, right? In other words, getting people to pray. And you don't need a lot of people to pray, you know, but you get the right people to pray. And God bring a supply, like blessing, financial blessing, like favor, like the right people, the right place, open the right doors, that, you know, take things that seem like they're not going to work and turn them to work, because God supplies you, supply, the wealth, the blessing in Jesus' name. Open that up for them, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and bless them with that supply word. The word of both of you is a little bit different for each one of you, but the supply. Supply. That's the big word. That's the word I heard exactly when I heard you guys, the supply of the Spirit. I think I heard the scripture somewhere, but I honest to God, did not have a clue which one it was, honestly. But I heard the word supply, of supplying all your needs. Well, there's another one. Let me see if I can. Let It is. Okay, that is a scripture too. So there's another one on supply. It's in Philippians also. This is really cool. All right, hang on a second. Let me find the Bible out there. All right, let me read this to you so we can get it good. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So the truth, I think it's King James probably. My God shall supply, there it is, all your needs according to his riches. Now see, now if people try to quote that scripture without the Holy Ghost giving it to them, I mean, it's the word of God. But, you know, but see, tonight what the Lord is saying is that I'm giving you something that will give you faith. I'm giving you something that you can confess that will work because God has given it. It's not because we, oh, what scripture can I find to make this thing work? That's going to go down the toilet. In that case, Jesus would have jumped off and go, man, you know, I'm going to be protected and say, nah. No. What's the word of the Lord? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Wow. God, do that. Open that up. Open up the supply realm. That's all supply. Supply. Okay, great. Now 612-805. Sorry about that, 612. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota.
Oh, hi, Joyce. All right. Hi, Joyce. Good to have you. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for that personableness, Lord. I thank you for the personableness, Father, of just her spirit, of her love for people, for the Word of God, for the things of God, for the kingdom of God. God's giving you a real love for the kingdom of God, for the things of God. For the you have a real faith, Joy, for the things of God, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And you, I don't know what you've seen before. I don't know what God has shown you, what you've seen literally happen, literally with, you know, maybe in meetings, seeing miracles. I don't know what you've seen. I don't know what you've got. I don't know where your faith comes from, but your faith is awesome. Your faith is powerful. And I thank you, Lord, that I like sometimes Jesus would breathe into people by his breath. And through their nostrils and give them the Holy Spirit, you know, to breathe the fresh presence of God. The refreshings come from the presence of the Holy Spirit, from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Jesus, for her desire, her passion for your outpouring, for your love, for your ministry in her, God. Open that up, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give her confidence to know, God, that miracles are things that happen that look like they're not going to happen, but God does them. And I thank you, Lord, that her faith in you, Jesus, not in just people, but in you, God, in how you use people. She has her eyes on you, Jesus, for miracles, God. Miracles are things that happen when it looks like somebody's on their deathbed, when it looks like something's not going to work, when it looks like something's going to fall apart, never going to work. It doesn't seem like there's a way. All of a sudden, there is a way, and I thank you, Lord, that her faith in you, Jesus, and giving her scriptures and word to cause that to come alive in her, in Jesus' name, that she will live and not die and declare the glory of God. And things over her life that seem to be dying sometimes, seem like they're dead, God's going to breathe on them and bring them to life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's her faith. Amen. Give a faith for miracles. Yeah. All right, 804-218. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Angie from Virginia.
Oh, hey, Angie. All right, Angie, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for that presence of the vessel, like a vessel. Like what I'm seeing is like a... you know, like a big long straw or something, like a vessel, like some type of tube or something, you know, where, you know, and, you know, God's showing you how to suck on that or draw from it. Like you put a straw into your water or whatever. And you have to suck that out, right? You suck on it. You draw it out of there. God's showing you how to draw out of things, how to draw out of people, how to draw out of God, how to draw out of the Holy Spirit, how to draw. Like I think Ruth Heflin knew how to do that. She knew how to draw on God. She knew how to stir up God. to draw on him, to draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. I mean, what better scripture can you have than that? Drawing nigh to God? Like, you know, you take the straw in your water and you suck on it. You drink, you draw that water into your mouth. You can drink. You draw that water through that straw. Amen. And so I see this straw going up to heaven, so to speak, you know, and like God's showing you how to, you know, it's like sometimes we wonder, what is this for, you know? Is it supposed to be delivered through this? And I'm waiting for it. No, he's saying you have to suck on it. You learn how to draw that out of heaven, how to draw those things out of God. It's a drawing thing. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It's a drawing thing. Not a pushing, not a shoving, not force, not difficult, not innate, but something that's easy. It's like with your own breath, your own suction power, you know, you learn how, the faith God gives us on how to draw from God. God's really going to, really magnifying that, trying to bring that up now and show you how to walk in a new level. All right, 585-436, I'm going to talk to you real soon, please. 585-436. Are you there? I think it'll for 585. I don't know what it is. But I think it's Jesus for the spirit of adversity. You know, when you run across adversity, please go here. Okay, adversity, the meaning of adversity. You know, difficulties and misfortune, a resilience in the face of adversity. Okay, so thank you, Lord. Yeah, because sometimes what we need is, you know, God is obviously, you know, letting you know that he's going to give you, just like this example of how to use the word resilience in the face of adversity, right? So he's giving you, God's wanting to show you that in life we have troubles. Jesus said, through trouble you enter to the kingdom of heaven. In other words, through pressure. It's not just through trouble, but I don't want to misquote that, but it's not just through trouble. We think of trouble like, oh my God, trouble. Well, pressure. Like Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that pressure was on him big time because he sweated at work great. That's a tremendous pressure. The pressure at that moment was so strong that the disciples couldn't even stay awake. And it says that it was so heavy, the pressure was there so much. The tribulation, you know, like through tribulation, not the great tribulation, but through tribulation, through much pressure, we enter into the kingdom of heaven. So maybe you're feeling pressure right now. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. But in other words, it's not going to mess you up. It's going to cause you to move in. It's going to cause you to press into God. It's going to cause you to, you know, sometimes that pressure is not, it's not always comfortable, but it pushes you through, and it's Holy Spirit pressure. If you understand that the pressure that God is pushing you through, it's like that final last push when a woman's having a baby, you know, like you just push it on through. That pressure, putting that pressure on and pushing through. Lord, I thank you for giving my friend strength to just push on through and deliver this thing. Let it come out, let it come forth, let the victory come forth from the pressure. That's what causes a woman to have a baby, right? They're bringing forth a new life is the pressure. Push that thing out when the time comes. So that's kind of what I'm feeling the pressure about. All right, 814-258. Who am I talking to, Rick Humphrey?
Hello, this is Greg from Pennsylvania.
Okay, hey, Greg. All right, Greg. Thank you, Lord, for Greg. Father, I thank you, Father, for Greg, for, like, you know, God teaching how to, you know, pick up the phone and call him, so to speak, you know, like we always can communicate with him, but sometimes we have you know, special times of communication. Like I see you coming into a special time of communicating with God. You know, we have fellowship with him. I was talking about this last night, how that, you know, we think that
that prayer is our communion with God. And then we get up from prayer and, you know, we just leave Jesus there and we say, we'll see you this time tomorrow, you know. We kind of walk off like, we'll see you this time tomorrow, Lord, I'm not spending this hour with you or whatever, 30 minutes with you or 5 minutes, whatever it is. But Jesus, you know, I was talking about this last night, said, you know, when sometimes when I'm through praying, it's like the Lord says, all right, let's go to work now. You know, let's go do your job. Let's go, you know, put the roof on or, you know, build a wall or, you know, go out and mow the yard. Like he wants to do it with us together. He wants to do everything together with us. It's not just in prayer on our knees. That's just kind of where we have a special moment. And then we get up from that and because we connect with him in prayer. And then once you connect with him, you open it up. And then once you open it up, you walk with him all day long. He talks with you about how to build a wall, how to build something, do something, work on something, work on a computer, work on whatever you're working on. He's right there the whole time. You're cooking him, and Jesus is a great cook. He loves to cook, right? He loves to cook. So why not let him give you ideas on how to cook, right? He's not just with us in prayer. He's with us. Prayer is like a connection where we're knocking on the door saying, Lord, are you home? Yeah, okay. And they said, come on, let's go do something together. You know, this time of prayer has been awesome. But now that we're connected, let's stay connected all day long. I'll be with you. I know how to do everything, and I'll help you do everything. So that special time of connection, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for that with my friend Greg from Pennsylvania, in Jesus' name. And that, you know, because once you connect, and so I don't know, there's something about a special connection time that I'm seeing, and that that's going to bless you. And yeah, awesome.
In Georgia.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I turned it off. Oh, thank you for that. All right, Andrika, I was prophesying over you. Glad somebody told me that was off. All right. Thank you. Okay, so what I was seeing was, after I got your name and heard your voice, I turned kind of to the side, and I saw this thing of, you know, wine of the Holy Spirit, and like a deep, rich red wine, and it's all you know, like obviously you're gonna be drinking from that, and what the red wine movement means. Somebody was asking me that last night, what that means. I said, well, you know, they, on the day of Pentecost, it was something brand new began, and all of a sudden, you know, where the disciples were struggling with casting out devils and healing the sick, because they come back and they said, Lord, we couldn't cast it. These guys couldn't cast the devil out of my daughter. What's wrong with them? And so, but now something was different because now the Holy Spirit's coming. It hit them so hard, Andrika, that they were like drunk with the wine. Like these have not been drinking wine. It's not even drinking time. They're not drinking. They're not drunk as you suppose. So it was an evidence that, you know, something they haven't really had before. And they just hit them, and they got drunk with it. You know, like, whoa, what is this? I've never had this before like this. So I see God is wanting to bring us some things with you that like you've never had before, not like this. You've had it before, of course, but not like this, like something new. And drinking of that wine of the Holy Spirit. Wine, you know, I know back in my drinking days, wine, you know, or beer or whatever, all that stuff, you know, it kind of puts you in the mode of, you know, you start doing things you don't normally do. You know, I'd get loaded and start to have a little courage and talk to the girls. And I also talked last night about how that I should drink a couple of beers before I get on the bull. I should ride bulls, you know, in rodeo. My dad was a rodeo person, so to speak. He wasn't really a rodeo person, but rodeo. But he raised me in the rodeo. So I did it even though I wasn't a cowboy. But I had to drink a couple of beers before I got on there because I'd be feeling like, yeah, I can do this now. You know, so it gives us, it's like it takes away our stress, our fears. And so God's showing you, opening you up to drink of the wine, the Spirit of God, so you can do things you don't normally do. Like when I would get to drinking, I would say things and I wouldn't talk. Some people, they get really ugly and mean when they're drinking, but I didn't. I just turned into, you know, kind of a friendlier, outspoken person. I was just more friendly. And I could talk to people and share when before I was kind of quiet and shy.
And so it's a thought of, you know, doing things that you've not been able to do before, you know, like getting loosened up to a whole other level so that you can express yourself, so that you can, you know, like when some people get a little low, they start telling you all their problems. You know, what's happening is that their fear of, you know, what are people going to think about me? When you get a little loaded, like you don't care what they think. You start saying, hey, man, you know, when I was 13 years old, I had some really bad things, and they've never told anybody until they got drunk, you know, because it opens them up to. So, and I see God, you know, opening you up and expressing things, you know, good things, wonderful things, powerful things, you know, getting things opened up because of God loosening you to a whole nother, being loosened to a whole other level, and expressing, you know, like Peter did. They started healing the sick. They had no problem casting out devils and healing the sick, right? Because they got endued with power, and it got them in a whole nother mode where they didn't have fears and think, oh, I can't do this. Now it's like, oh, I know I can do this now because I'm loaded with the Holy Ghost. So that new wine, I saw that new wine. So I'm sure it has more meaning than that. That's what I saw when I'm speaking over you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for that. That new wine anointing, that new wine. Come the day of Pentecost. Pour it out, dear Jesus. Pour it out. Let her drink of it, God. Let her, you know, some sorrows that have gotten locked up in her and some grieving and some things, pain. She hadn't been able to let out. God, let her drink the wine of the Spirit and just let her let it out, God. Get. It says a little bit of wine is good for the belly, according to the Scripture. It says a little bit of wine is good for the belly. So what's good for the belly and the wine of the Spirit is that it cleanses your belly. They say when your belly's clean, your belly's functioning good, everything functions good. So I thank you, God, for her belly, out of her belly flowing rivers of life. Anything locked up in there that's been that she'd be able to relax and let go and get it out, you know, the pain, heartache, suffering, things that have been bothering her, let her get it out and bring it to you and cast it upon you, God, so she can open up to a whole nother level. Every hindrance broken. Freedom and liberty in Jesus' name. Could think new thoughts and go to new places with God. Amen. Wow, that was cool. All right, 919-995. I'm going to talk to the front, please. Cheryl. All right, Cheryl. Let's move. Thank you, Lord, for the fear and the bondage, God. Those fears and bondage are being broken. But we all have fears of things. Like some fears we can, you know, fix. Like you have a fear, you have some tire, your tires aren't all that good, and you're driving down the road, and you have a fear that you could have a blowout and have a wreck. Some, you know, those fears can be fixed. You know, you solve that problem by believing God for some money, get some new tires, right? So when you're driving down the road, that fear just goes away because you now you got good tires, right? Yeah. So I see God really opening it up for you, and bringing things to pass in a way that fear causes us to run from things. Faith causes us to run to it. You know. I see you, God, just dealing with fears, things that there's some things you can handle, like I said. Some fears are emotional and mental, but sometimes we have little things in our life that fear messes with, like we, you know, afraid that, you know, something's going to go wrong. Well, if you can fix the thing, have it fixed or it won't go wrong, then that fear goes away, right? Those fears can be fixed. There's some fears that you need to fix that God's going to give you the ability to fix them, or it won't. You don't have to worry about it or fear it, you know. And then there's this whole realm about fear. We fear we're going to get COVID, or we're going to die, or we're going to get sick, or we're going to end. All those fears that we all deal with every day. Those are very real fears. And so I see God really helping you work through those fears. And come out with faith, where you're drawing the things of God to you instead of drawing, you know, things that you know, trouble and situations that mess with you. your faith gets loosened and you start drawing the things of God toward you. Amen? Yeah, in Jesus' name, that's really cool. All right, 857-243, you want to talk to your friend, please? 857.
Hi, Randy. My name is Kristen.
Oh, hi, Kristen. Yes, you texted me earlier. Hey, thank you, Kristen. All right, thank you. Yeah. I muted you there because I'm going to pray over you just like to everybody. Thank you, Kristen. And I don't think you were trying to tell me probably where you're from, and I muted you before you did that. Yeah. Okay, Kristen, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Kristen, God, that you're opening her heart up to love. Open her heart up to love. And love has many different manifestations. You know, when you serve God out of love, just like, you know, you've been in love before, I'm sure. And when you love somebody, you know, you don't feel like you have to go see them. You don't feel like you have to find out about them. You don't feel like you have to go. You want to. You know, you love somebody, you're like, well, man, I'm going to find everything I can about this person. And I'm going to go and talk to people. What do you know about them? Because you want to find out about them because you love them. You're like, I love them. And you want to spend time. You want to read about them. There's articles about, like, say you have a crush on somebody in a band or something. You want to, you know, find everything you can to read about them and find out. Well, that's the way it is with God, too. So when love begins to manifest, it moves you, Christian, to a place of, I got to do this. I got to do this to function. I got to do this. And you start finding yourself going, I love what I'm doing. I love God. I love life. And when you love life, you start, you do things because you enjoy it. You want to. You know, just like you have, say, a crush on somebody, you know, that, you know, like in a band or something or whatever. You know, I kind of like, I didn't have a crush on Catherine Coleman, but I like Catherine Coleman a lot, and I loved her ministry. So I read everything I could about her. Not because somebody said, you need to find out all you can about miracle ministry. I loved her ministry, so I wanted to find out about it. The things of God. And when you love people, you do things for them because you love, you want to do it for them. It's not like you have to. So love moves you into that that place of, you know, where you have to do it or feel like I better do it, into I want to because I love it. I love it. I want to do it. I love it. And I see God really moving you to that place, right, of love and the whole love room. And in Jesus' name, amen, that's really, really cool. The love room. Yeah, so Christian, get ready for that. And God, of course, when love comes, it washes away a lot of our fears. It washes away a lot of our concerns. It washes away a lot of our feeling like we have to, you know, push ourselves and make ourselves do things. Now when we start moving, we start being motivated. We want to do things. We want to clean the house. We want to do whatever it is. You know, we want to be with that person. We don't feel like we have. We want to go to the job because we love it, you know. And I see God really activating love in your life. I mean, so even love with people and that kind of thing, too, also. All right. Very awesome, Christian. Very cool. All right. I hope you got something out of that. All right, 954-580. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, this is Carolyn from Jamaica.
Hi, Carolyn from Jamaica. All right. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Jesus, for Carolyn, God. We thank you, Lord, for the prayer life, God, for her prayer life being more than just, you know, sometimes I used to, when I had to pray, I had to make myself stop. Okay, I got to stop and I got to pray because I need to pray. I better pray because if I don't pray, I'm not going to get things, you know, I'm not going to feel good. I'm not going to, I love God. I want to do it. But, you know, so I see your prayer life becoming the thing of, you know, like God starts answering prayers. You know, and you find yourself, you know, praying more from the desire realm than from the, you know, quoting the Bible thing. You know, you the Bible says, "I'll give you the desires of your heart." In Mark 11:23-24, it says, when you read the King James Version, it says that whatsoever things you desire when you pray. So God moving you into the desire realm, that when you desire, when you're praying something, you desire it. You're not just like trying to come up with something or trying to push it through. It's because you desire it. You want it. You know, you know that this is whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Of course, it's talking about when you're in the spirit of prayer. You know, so when we start praying, we get in the spirit, and then we pray, and then God starts giving us desires. And when you pray out of the desire realm, those prayers get answered. And why? Because they're not just something you're claiming and hoping for. It's something that you desire. And when you pray out of desire, it's like you pray with your, more of your heart, more of your soul, more of your spirit. And those prayers get answered. So I thank you, Lord, for that anointing in her life, God. In the name of Jesus, open that up for her, Father, right now, where she starts praying out of desire, the desire realm, instead of, you know, trying to find something to pray about, you know. God starts giving you desires, and when you pray, like, you get excited about it. Oh, yeah, man, and this is exciting because I really desire this. And, yeah, so cool. All right, 803-991, can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Hi, Angela. All right, thank you, Angela. Thank you, Lord, that you know, the confidence level, God, I thank you for her confidence level in herself, in her ability to, you know, do the right thing, to think the right thoughts, to go the right direction. And then I see you really relaxing about, you know, trying too hard. You know, one of my problems that I've had over the years is at trying too hard. I try so hard. I just, you know, mess stuff up, you know, trying so hard. Because when you love God and you want to do things, you know, you know, it's like a little kid trying to help his father, you know, do something that, you know, the little kid doesn't have a clue what's going on. But he just wants to help daddy because he keeps getting in the way, you know. And so it's like, I see you, being able to relax and rest and be able to, you know, just enjoy, like, you're not necessarily trying to figure out which way do I go now. I'm trying to figure out what the will of God is, you know, so much, you know, but being able to just relax and let your heart sing, let your heart, you know, ask, let your heart pray, let your heart just enjoy and let your heart. So instead of forcing yourself and pushing yourself, you know, like, I still have to catch myself at times, you know. And that's one of the big things God's going to teach me, how to enter into the rest. Because when you enter into rest, you know you can't make it happen anyway, right? I can't make it happen, but sometimes I push it and try to. Or so just enter into my rest. Yeah, just let your heart is born again. Your heart knows God. Just let your heart talk. Let your heart go where God wants it to go. You find your place going. You find yourself going places. When you let your heart go where God wants to go. It's like a helium balloon. You know, it'll just kind of go up. It'll just go up automatically. You don't have to shove it up there, push it up there. The helium causes it to go straight up. And so that's what I see with your heart. I see your heart and your faith going up before God. You know, be like your prayers are being answered. You know they are. They're going up before God. They're not getting stuck on the ceiling. They're going up before God because you're resting. Learning how to rest, and we'll get on that one together, right? Yeah, I'm learning to rest too. And sometimes I get pushy with things, and sometimes I don't. And when I get pushy, it makes it worse. But when I start thinking, you know, well, God tells me to move, that's different. But when I'm trying to, I get in that mode, the old faith confession days, I'm going to do this and make it happen, right? And just like Abraham and Sarah, they really messed it up. Yeah, yeah. My God, help us, Lord, with that one. So thank you, Jesus, that I see you resting, letting your heart go up, not trying to make it happen, but letting it happen. The angel Gabriel told Mary, Mary says to him, let it be done unto me according to thy word. So let it. And then we have to let our heart, which will go up toward God and believe God and know God and have faith in God and have strength and be led without even knowing we're being led. It will be relaxing. Amen. All right, I will take that one too. I'll claim that one for myself. All right. 709-500, anyone talk to you real quick, please?
This is Dustia from Canada.
Oh, hi, Dustia. Hi, Dustin. Good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Dustin. Well, I thank you for readjusting. God is readjusting your faith. You know, sometimes we we get some ideas, we get some information, we kind of get some ideas on what to do, and we kind of do it. And then we get about halfway there, and it's like we have to make an adjustment. Like I think when Abraham started, when God told him to go to just go, he didn't really tell him where to go. He said go. And when Abraham went, he had to adjust his you know, which way he was going. So he had to make an adjustment. He did good for, you know, 5-10 miles. And then he said keep going the same way. Oh, make an adjustment to the left a little bit here. So I see you making some adjustments to your faith. You know, been doing good, moving toward God, and you know, heading toward Him. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's like, okay, I'm going to make an adjustment here. And you do that, make that adjustment, and you end up being and doing where God wants you to go and be and do, right? And so, hang on just a second, Destia. All right, Destia, I am back. Thank you, Lord, for Destia. Thank you, Jesus. And so I see you making some adjustments to things. You know, an adjustment isn't like you've been going the wrong direction. An adjustment is like you've been going generally the right direction. And the Lord says, you know, like sometimes we just maybe spend a little bit more quiet time with the Lord and go, okay, Lord, you know, we're going to need to make some adjustments here. We've been doing good. And help me adjust my faith. Help me adjust, you know, how I'm looking, what I'm looking at, where my focus is. And help me get myself refocused. You know, I do this all the time, bless you. God refocuses me. And, you know, so once you've got your focus, He pretty well got you. So it's with my focus. Sometimes my focus gets off the Lord and on the storm, like with Peter. Sometimes my eyes get off of Jesus and focus on people and that kind of thing. And so the Lord says, you know, make an adjustment, you know. And it's not a rebuke so much as it is kind of like, okay, you didn't do good, so make an adjustment. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't let people, don't let them be your source. I'm your source. Your job is not your source. Your money is not your source. I'm your source. Right? So we make those adjustments. And, yeah, so we can move on to the next level, to the next place, and start receiving from God instead of trying to make it happen. Just receiving from God. All right. And Jeannie, I think, 903-808.
Yeah, this is Jeannie.
All right. I said it before I realized what I've been. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Jeannie. And I thank you, Lord, for God. I saw your picture where you sent me pictures of the cows and how you guys have moved into your, and I got the cows over there in the new place. Really awesome. I'm not sure what that bag had to do with. What was that? Or a picture of that thing, whatever that thing is. Like FM, that is 14 days. Congratulations. I wasn't sure what that was, but really, really cool and really beautiful. That's a little pond with the cattle. And awesome. And last week, pregnant mare. Oh, cool. Finally. How's the home as well? All right. No, she. Jeannie's getting moved into her place. They've been having a big, major transition going on, to say the least. So thank you, Lord, for that transition, Father. I thank you, Father, for in the midst of this transition, I feel like your faith has been, you know, sometimes when we are moving, you know, not just physically, but just moving in general, like when I go and I travel and go to other countries and go to other places that I'm not used to being there, it's like what happens to me is it doesn't feel comfortable. But I know that it's like my roots have been kind of cut up and I'm kind of like, you know, like hanging there, like, you know, like I'm out of the boat. And when you're out of the boat, you're not in your normal zone. You're in a different place. And, you know, so it's like you learn how to. So when I'm out of the country or whatever, and everything's different, people talk different, everything is not America. It's like something else, you know. And so it's like everything's different. Nobody knows you. You don't know anybody. So you're out of the boat. You feel like your roots are all cut. You're floating around, you know. But when you float around, in a sense, when your roots have been cut, it's like that's when you become movable. When God can use me in amazing ways. at the times that I feel like, you know, I'm leaving my, where I've been for years, I'm leaving my country, leaving the place, I'm going somewhere else. It's like I feel like I'm like just floating around. But in those moments, God can move me much easier because I'm not settled in my system. So he starts doing something more. He starts moving me in a direction spiritually where I've got my eyes more on him than I did before because I'm, my roots are cut off. I'm not in a familiar place. I'm like, you know, wow, where am I at? What am I doing? I don't know what's going on here. You know, what are we going to do with this? We're going to do with that. We a whole new thing going on. And he moves you while you're in that, while you're in that state of mind, while you're in that state of spirit. He's able to move you because you've got something, you're cutting up your roots, and he's able to direct you and focus you, even though it's uncomfortable, but you end up, you know, being able to facing the right direction, so to speak, when you land and begin to put your roots, your new roots in. And so I think that during this time that you've been moving, it's still moving, still, that's still going on, that that being out of the boat thing, out of your comfort zone, and the excitement of the new thing is God is repositioning your spirit, and like he's turned you, he's turned you in some directions in the spirit that are where you're able to focus without bending your, you know, when you see something way to the left, you have to turn, bend your neck, bend your head, bend your leg. Look at that over there. When it's way over there and you have to bend your head, your neck, and kind of uncomfortable, it's like you get turned around a position where you're not having to even turn your head. You're just able to look right at it. In other words, your focus becomes easy once you get through the process. The focus is like set. It's like he set you in a new place, and now you're facing that new thing. Now you're facing the promised land. Now you're facing, you know, the Lord. Now Peter's not pushing his neck around trying to see the Lord because he's got his eyes on a storm. He's got his eyes on Jesus, and he's looking right at him. And, so I don't know if that made sense or not, but when we get our roots cut, it's like God kind of moves us in a position. So I see that he's moved you in your spirit, in a way where you're more focused, where you're able to be more focused, where you're just going to be more automatic, it's going to be more easy without having to, you know, twist your head way around, look way off to the left, you know, like you're facing off to the left now, so to speak. Instead of having to look around there and turn your head, and, you know, how it hurts your neck when you do that, now your whole body is turned around. You're facing that direction. Now it's like your focus will be easy or something. Yeah, your faith is going to be more focused. Yeah, and you can just say, hallelujah. Amen. That's awesome. I talk about focus is everything, because the whole everything God tries to when he takes us through things, it's really all about where's our focus at, or where's your faith at, really. Where's your focus at? Whatever you're focused on, you know, we can be doing a lot of things, but the whole time we're focused on the Lord. Right? Like you can start your morning out in prayer, focus on the Lord. And you think that when you get up and walk away from that place, you're not really focused on the Lord anymore, but your time of prayer gets you to focus on him, and then you take that focus with you, and he goes with you wherever you go. Talk to you about how to do the cattle, how to do the trees, how to do the fence, how to do the yard, how to do the house, where to put things. You know, he guides you and leads you. You know, your focus is more, a struggle. My yoke is easy. It's easier to focus on this new direction. Yeah, I hope that makes sense. It makes sense to me, but I hope I said it properly. All right, 850-491. Am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Donna from Florida.
Oh, hey, Donna. All right, Donna, good to have you, too. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Donna. Thank you, Lord, for that personalness of God. I see what resonating from you is that is the Jesus being able to be more personal with people. You know, that's what one of the things God's called you to is for the Lord. You know, we can be personable to people, but if the anointing or the presence of God or the Christ in us is not able to be personable to people, in other words, we feel comfortable where we let him. Jesus is a friend to sinners, right? He could be a friend to anybody, and he could be personable with anybody. And people loved him because he would be personable. And so I see this with you, that like Christ in you is going to be, like this happened with me several years ago, just a few years ago, actually. I've been serving the Lord a long time, where I'm able to be, I'm not always trying to win him to Jesus with my, you know, has anybody ever told you about Jesus today? You know, instead I befriend them, I kind of have fun with them, talk to them, and pretty soon they're like, you know, we're buddies. That never happened to me before, believe it or not. And so it made me more personable with people. I became more personable instead of, okay, I'm here for one reason, and that's the will of God, that's it. You know, that's kind of the way I just was and thought it was really cool. But the Lord said, you know, that's not the way Jesus was. Be more like Jesus. Jesus was to be a friend to sinners. Not just, you know, nice, a friend. Him. He wasn't intimidated by their sinfulness, right? Because he knew who he was. And I think see that with you, Donna, God really bringing that with you, the personableness of Jesus and the friendliness and being able to, you know, let Jesus be Jesus through you. And, yeah, very cool, very interesting. Okay, what number was that I just took? Kidding. All right, Donna, there you go. Yeah, and that's going to be able to draw people in more, just God just start drawing things in. Things start happening I wouldn't have called it a religious thing. When I laid down my religious idea, my biblical idea of how to win people over, like you've got to tell them about Jesus every time. You got to tell them about how to get saved. You know, something like that. Maybe not exactly, but you know. So I started relaxing, and the Lord said, "Just be friends, and draw me with friendship." You know. Then they'll be asking you, what do you do? You know, so you, yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that wisdom, personalness of Christ in and through Donna, Father. Everybody. Amen. Awesome. It's already there, but I'm seeing a Holy Ghost anointing, the increase of that. Amen. And it's able to draw people in and, let's work. More fun. All right, 720-682. Can I talk to you, Trump, please?
Yo, yo, yo. It's Mike from Colorado.
Hey, yo, yo. All right, my brother, yo, yo. Yoing. Yo, yo. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for that fresh anointing, God, on Mike to, to find that place of security and stability in a way that he never had before. You know, finding Psalms 91, finding that safe place where we feel safe, where we feel secure. Not that we, where we feel secure in the fact that we know that God is, you know, with us, that God is on our side, that we are, you know, that he, that security of knowing that if I don't do everything perfectly, you know, God's going to graciously, he's my friend, he's my Savior, he's my Lord, he's here to help me, he's here to show me, he's here to show me how to walk in the blessings. He's here. He knows how to do it. And I thank you, Lord, for giving him wisdom on how to, have that place of security, knowing that he's safe, that he's protected, that he's provided for, and that you're watching over him, God, at a whole other level. And Jesus' name, every time we go through something, every time I go through something, you know, and God brings me things, he starts showing me how much more he's with me, how much, like with Abraham, when Abraham and Sarah were on their way to Egypt, and he says, you know, your beautiful girlfriend, and they're going to like you, they're going to want you, so just tell them I'm your brother. And because even though God just told him, I'm going to curse those who curse you and bless those who bless you, he hadn't quite got it yet. He was going to get it, but he hadn't quite got it yet. So he gets there, sure enough, he's freaking out, and tell him that you're my brother, you're my sister. But he does that, and then what did God do the whole time? Even though all that happened, God showed him that he was protecting him. He plagued Pharaoh, and though Pharaoh didn't even really do anything wrong, right? And so little by little, God began to take Abraham to different levels of security, of showing him, man, when I mean I'm going to curse those who curse you and bless those who bless you, I'm going to do it. Do you see me doing it time and time again, even when you didn't really, you know, it's not that you didn't believe it, you just didn't understand it. It's not about not believing, it's about understanding. Thank you, Lord, for that understanding with my God to show him that when he say you're going to do something, you're going to do it. It may not always be done the way we think, but that security and safety and that protection, God, of knowing that, you know, I'm going to take care of business. Amen. All right. Provide, protect, and yeah. All right. 951-966. We're going to talk to Ruth, please.
Hi, this is Regina.
Hi, Regina. All right, Regina, let me take a drink of water here in a second. All right, Regina, what I'm seeing here is that, you know, God's going to remove the magnifying glass where people, you know, sometimes you do something right, people very seldom magnify what's being done right. They usually magnify what's being done wrong or what, you know, you do some little something, you know, make a mistake of some sort, and they just magnify it and make it into something. Well, the enemy does that with people. And when people get, so offenses happen because the enemy magnifies, you know, a little, you know, my parents made mistakes when I was growing up. But, you know, and the enemy magnified that for a long time in my life and caused me a lot of trouble. It caused me to disrespect my mother and father. When when I started raising kids, I started realizing how good of a job they did because I didn't do a near good a job as they did. And so it's what I see God showing people. It's like when things have been magnified, you know, out of just common human, you know, stuff. That people magnifying it, making it, and like making it something that it wasn't or isn't. And like I did with my parents, you know, I was looking for an excuse to blame them and find something because I was successful. It's because it was their fault because they didn't teach me how to be successful. Well, the truth is they did, but it was so simple. It was so basic. It was the basic things of life they taught me. And so, you know, when I realized that they taught me that stuff, and I thought, man, you know, the devil just tried to, in my mind, tried to magnify things. So I see God removing the magnet. I see people seeing you, you know, when they go through life and they start seeing things, they're going to find themselves going like, wow, you know, I mean, wow, Mom really did do good. Mom really did, you know, because look, when they go through things, they start having struggles and battles and they find out that they did, you know, like I did with me, with my things in life. I did worse than my mom and dad did. And that's what I look back and said, man, they did a great job. And so I was always talking about what a horrible job they did. You know, the truth is, it was just the opposite. They really did a great job. And God started showing me, especially when I tried to raise kids and I tried to do things, oh my God, this is really hard. This is really difficult. And I did a lot worse than they did, in my opinion. And so I quit magnifying their stuff. So I see God doing this with you where people are going to see, you know, the great things, the good things, the godly things, you know, the things that you did that were, you know, magnified the wrong way. And God's going to demagnify them. He's going to let people go like, wow, man, look like I do with my mom and dad. I went, man, you know, my mom really did love me. My mom really did take care of business. My mom really did protect me. My mom really, you know, I started seeing all these things. And because I started going through things myself, and it taught me stuff. So anyway, and God restoring things because of that. Restore my relationship with my mom and my dad in my mind. But it was in my mind that I magnified their stuff, you know, and judged them and all kinds of things. And God had to really set me free of judging my parents. When I did worse than they did, I thought, man, this is a little more difficult than I thought, you know. So, and it set me free. It healed me. And so, you know, the devil's a liar, man. And he's going to restore that which the cankerworm and pommelworm and all that has eaten up. God's going to restore that in Jesus. Let that restoration, God, be. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. 402-650. Who am I talking to, Ruth, please?
Hello.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is John. Yeah. Okay, John. John's not John. Slightly. John's from Logs. Thank you, Lord, for John. We thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for blessing them, God, bringing unity in their life, God. Unity, John, is not always what we think it is. Sometimes unity can be a completely different thing. We think we have to be agreement on the same issues and all that kind of thing. But unity can just be love. Love, love, just love brings more unity than anything. And people have two different belief systems even. One can believe in God and one cannot believe in God. And they can still have more unity than some Christians have, you know, because they love each other. So I thank you, Lord, for that love of God pouring through them, pouring through John, pouring through Melissa, God. Teach them how to love one another, love one another, love one another. We always love, but we learn we can go to higher levels of love, higher levels of love, because that's where the unity comes in. Where there's unity, blessings from God come. Where there's disunity and strife and that kind of thing that goes on with us sometimes, it opens up the door for you know, the enemy to hinder us. So I thank you, Lord, for the love of God, that love of God bring that unity, Father. This is the unity. We strive to unify because we got to agree on everything. But unity comes through love. And when love is moving and working, there's a unity that goes on that's just beautiful. Amen. And then and that way we're not trying to change people. We're just loving people. And we love them, God changes them. Love opens up the door for God to change people. Amen. All right. And so thank you, Lord, for that love relationship. Thank you, Jesus, for the unity in their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. The love. Love room. All right, 202-722. Can I talk to Ruth from, please?
Hi, it's Nicole, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
Okay, Nicole, thank you. All right, Nicole. All right, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father, for removing all of the, you know, like, I see a scab on your arm or on your body or something, and you know that scab like a wound, and it's you know it's very close to healing, very close to healing. It's right there where it's just like in the final stage of being totally, you know, healed, and so I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, so it's like God is saying, you know, we all have wounds. Well, some of us have really, we talked about this last night, about the wound, depending on how deep the wound is, how long it takes to for it to get healed, to not feel the pain. You know, because as long as it's not healed yet, we bang it against something a little by accident. You know, we've been 3 months into this thing. It's healed up a little bit, but I banged it one day. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. And the pain comes back. But what I see is that like a wound, like a scab of a wound, and it's healthy. It's healthy, and it's healing, and it's looking good. In other words, God's saying, you know, you and the Lord been somehow getting together, and you've been forgiving, blessing, you know, understanding, getting wisdom. All those things cause us to heal up. You know, like with me, with my parents, let's say, when I started getting wisdom from God, you know, so wisdom was, Randy, you know, you really misjudged your parents on something. I was like, yeah, God, I sure did. You know, and the wounds from the, and God started, you know, straightening me out or helping me understand that particular situation, it brought healing to me. And pretty soon those wounds were, you know, pretty much healed. And wounds from your parents, wounds from family, wounds from husband, wife, you know, people that we love, they can be very deep. And so it looked like it was a pretty deep wound. And God is like, it's just like healed up and the skin's growing together and all that kind of thing. So it's looking really good. And I think that means that, you know, God's healing you. He's healing areas, healing things that where people wounded you or things, you know, went weird, you know, didn't work out the way we thought and the way they were thinking. And, you know, and so that the wounds that those things bring with all of us, the disappointments that Joseph had, a deep wound in his life, a deep wound from his brothers, and it took years for that thing to heal. But when the time came, he was healed. And when you get healed, you like Joseph did. You said, "What Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good." That's kind of a sign of healing. When we really see, Nicole, when we truly say what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. And he said, "I'm not going to kill you, brothers, because God showed me that what he was trying to get me here. And you guys were used, even though it was horrible. You did a great job of being mean. He did a great job of that. But God used you in all that craziness." And so understanding that came from that brought great healing to his life. And so something like that, I'm not sure exactly what the thing is, but it prepared Joseph for his job, for his big job. And, when he came, stood before Pharaoh, that his wound might have had the scar was there, but the wound was healed. And he was ready for his next phase. So, amen. Thank you, Lord, for the wounds that you're healing and all your people, God. We thank you for Nicole, God. We thank you, Lord, for the job that she's been doing with you. And she's been applying that balm of Gilead on those wounds, God. And y'all been working together on that. And she's ready for that next season of her life, God. Because something's not healed up, right? When it gets hit, it can create pain, But when it's scarred over, that means it's been knit together and sewn together by God, by the way God made the body to heal. And it's when somebody hits it, it doesn't really hurt. It doesn't create more pain. That is been dealt with. It's called being dealt with. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, cool. Wow, so that's like graduation time or something. Amen. All right, 754-240. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya from Florida.
Hey, Donald and Tanya. All right, good day to you guys. All right, thank you, Lord, for supplying their needs. I got this word earlier for Terrence and Tanisha. I got the word supply. As soon as I heard your voice, I heard the same thing, like supply. And I gave you scriptures on that. Let me see if I can find those again. Philippians 4:19. "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." The verse above that says, "I have all I need and more now that I have received your gift from Epaphroditus." They receive gifts, money. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice. That's verse 18. It was a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And then he goes on and says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to the glorious riches of Christ Jesus. To our God and the Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." All right, that's scripture for you guys. Let's go here to maybe another one here. And this is another scripture I gave them. I'm just doing the same thing for you. That doesn't happen very often, but here we go. King James says, uses the word supply. "I know that this shall turn to my salvation." Paul's talking about people preaching the gospel with the wrong motives, wrong intentions. It was causing them problems, but he said, they're saying, "Even though it's causing me problems, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers." So he's saying through your prayers, he understood that through people's prayers and the supply of the Holy Spirit, those two things together. "But I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers," talking to the people, "and the supply of the Spirit." So that through prayers of God's people, Paul's situation was going to be turned around and for the supply of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for the supply, God. Supply all their needs, God. All their needs in Jesus' name, according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Lord, let it be done. I declare and I decree it, an increase, a multiplication, Father, that in this time of trial and testing, God, that they're going to, just like the joke, you know, that and he kept being faithful to God. He was faithful to God. In the midst of that faithfulness, God doubled him, increased him. Sometimes when we go through a dry time, a difficult time, to see if we'll obey God in the dry time as much as we did in the other time. I thank you, Lord, for that, that this test they're going through. When Jesus was being tested in the wilderness, tempted by Satan in the wilderness, his thing was to say, the right scriptures. Like, Satan says, jump off this thing, and Psalms 91, 11, and 12, and the angels are going to take care of you. He said, yeah, but it's also written. He had the scripture from God countercut to, even though that was the Bible, he had another Bible scripture, another one. He said, yeah, but it's also written. So God gave him what he needed to win that victory. So when they won the victory in those three areas we talked about earlier, it literally put the hand, the power of God into his hands, right? He walked out of there endued with power from on high in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, as they go through this time, God, their faithfulness to you, God, in Jesus' name, you will give them supply of the Spirit, strengthen them. Turn it out for their good. Turn it out for your glory, God. In Jesus' name, manifest yourself in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. For Tom and Tanya, in the name of Jesus, bless them, enrich them, God. Increase them and multiply them and give them strength for the Holy Spirit as they're being tested and tempted and tried. In Jesus' name, to be faithful to you, God, and find out what's the word that comes from the mouth of God, not just what the scripture says, but what is it? What's the word that God is breathing on for you in Jesus? You'll know the difference. We've been teaching on the last few days. You'll know the difference between a God-breathed word out of scripture and one that is just dead. Just sitting there, but God hadn't really said this is it. It's just something we take sometimes and try to apply it, and it doesn't give us faith. The only words that give us faith from God is the ones that he quickens. And I thank you, Lord, for the quickening power of the Holy Spirit to give them the faith, God, to walk through this season, God, with blessing, with provision, to supply. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 608-960, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Shannon in Wisconsin.
Hey, Shannon. All right, Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for the prayers of the righteous man availeth much. God wanting you to see, and know that it's not just other people's prayers. Other people's prayers are important. It's the scripture I just read, Donald and Tanya, that it was the prayers of the people. I know that through your prayers and the provision. But I thank you, Lord, for that prayer of a righteous man, God. You showing Shannon, Father, he's a righteous man. I mean, he's not a perfect man. It's like, I'm not a perfect man, but he's a righteous man. Because when you're born again, you're righteous, whether you're whether you're perfectly doing everything perfect or not, to make any we realize that we're righteous in Christ Jesus. So thank you, Lord, for letting him focus on that righteousness in Jesus' name. Take the blinders off, God, in any area. Let him eat the bread of Jesus and have his eyes open to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that's inside of him. And his spirit man is. His spirit man is righteous. His spirit man is seated with Christ in heaven's place. Your spirit man, in Jesus' name, is right there. Let your spirit man, God, let his spirit man pour out by the Holy Spirit upon his emotions and his mind and convince him, God, he's a man of God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let it be done, Father. Let him see that. Let him walk in it, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, that he will be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let it be done, Father. I seal him with the seal of the Holy Spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are sealed to the day of redemption. That you have sealed Shannon, Father. He is sealed. Amen. All right. All right, 847-239, who am I talking to read from, please?
Stephanie from Illinois.
Stephanie. All right, Stephanie, thank you, Lord Jesus, for Stephanie. God, I thank you for a fresh anointing on her life, God. I thank you for a fresh anointing of understanding the word, understanding not from what people say the word means, but like Jesus told Peter, he said, who do you say that I am? Not who do people say that I am. Who do you say And when he said, thou art the Christ, I mean, he said that thou art the Christ, the anointed one. That meant that a fresh anointing had come on him from the Father. And I thank you, Lord, for Stephanie, a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost and fire, God. Hallelujah. Pour out your spirit in Jesus' name. May she find herself, Father, with a fresh anointing, because fresh anointing brings fresh understanding. It brings us to where we think differently about the Scripture. We think differently about things. We get our minds open to that, you know, we are going to make it through this valley, of the shadow. We're going to make it through this. We're going to be more than a conqueror. Not because of what we do right and how good of a fighter we are, but because of who Christ is. It's who Christ is that we get our eyes back on Jesus, that we get our eyes back on Christ, who was the only person who ever became more than a conqueror. And because we get our eyes on you, Jesus, that Stephanie will be able to focus on that God and focus on the victory in Jesus' name and the blessing and the anointing. And the anointing, the Bible says, let the anointing teach you. Lord, I pray that the anointing will teach her like never before. Yeah, we listen to people. I listen to people, but the anointing still teaches me, even when they're teaching. If you don't get the teaching, if you don't get it from the Holy Spirit, what they're saying, you don't got it. You may intellectually have it. Oh, yeah, that 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah, I got that. But still don't have it from God. But when the anointing teaches you what they're saying, this dear preacher preached or a prophet prophesied, and the anointing teaches you, shows you what they're saying, then that's where we're at. That's what we want. Thank you, Jesus, for that anointing, that fresh anointing. And I'm not talking about what you can feel, but it's what you can know. It's about knowing. My sheep know my voice. It's about what we know, not about what we feel. Feelings are wonderful. I love them. I like them a lot. But it's what I know that changes me. It's what I know that moves me into a place where, you know, even though I may fear sometimes, may have doubt, but God gives me the grace to keep my eyes on him, knowing the storm is strong, yeah, storm is powerful, but you know what? Christ is right there with you. He's called you to step out on the water. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, Jennifer, thank you. All right, that's all that nobody else has their hand up, so 5 people. People that don't have their hand up. Okay, actually. Okay. All right. All right, 731. There you are. Okay, Ashley, got it. I think that's you. Is this 731? Who's this? Ashley?
Yeah, hi. This is Ashley from Wisconsin.
Okay, get that. All right. Thank you. That was a good timing. Thank you, Lord, for Ashley tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, for her heart and the armor of God and the protection of God around her heart. God, that you protect. Sometimes we go through a time where, you know, God really protects our heart. We have to protect our heart, too. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Because out of it flows the issue of life. And you have great faith in your heart, actually, great faith. And so I see God really opening up your faith to him. And so when you guard your heart, you're guarding your faith. And in pretending your faith guards you, right? Because you only move by what you hear God saying. It's not just what's written in the Word. It's what the Holy Spirit quickens, which is when that quickens it, that means it gives you faith. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith does not come by the Bible. It comes by hearing what God says about the Bible. It comes by you hearing from the Holy Spirit what that says. That's where faith is. That's when faith comes. It's not the Bible itself. It's what the Holy Spirit breathes about the Bible, speaks to you about the Word of God, tells you this is yours. Then faith comes. I thank you, Jesus, for faith in actually God. Show her what the difference between the faith of God that comes through the God-breathed words, the rhema word, if you want to call it that, rhema word. Thank you, God, and Jesus, thank you for opening her up to what real faith is, that she will be able to witness to it and not be stuck in this think of phony faith, what looks like faith, what everybody else says is faith, but not faith. She will know what comes from God. You'll know what comes from faith. Faith is when you hear what the word says, not just read it. It's when you hear, when you know. The Bible, hearing and knowing, same thing. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. And I think the Lord will ask the God that she will know your voice. She's going to confirm. You're going to confirm with her God. This is not just a Bible scripture. This is what I'm breathing to you. And it does come from the Word of God, but it's a life, living, breathing Word that you can relate to, that you can understand. God always gives things to us in the ways that we can understand, not what everybody else can understand. Because sometimes the way they can understand it, we won't understand it. But God, I think the Lord, for very personally speaking to Ashley, showing her God how so she can understand herself in her own thinking, in her own ability to learn in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. She's not dependent on other people. She's dependent on you, God, to show her. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. We have Carmen. Okay, Carmen. 2. I think you're 111. Are you 111, Carmen?
I don't know. But it sounds like it.
Yeah.
God bless you,
properly. Yeah. Bless you, too. Yeah, you're 111. Okay. Yeah, I don't know how I missed you. Were you there earlier? I missed you. Somehow. I'm sorry. Thank you. Boy. Wow. You know, I get sleepy. Sometimes, if y'all hear me snore, it's just kind of like laugh a little bit. Try to enjoy it, because it ain't going to happen that often, I don't think. But we've had a couple of people snoring tonight, but I kind of miss that once in a while, you know? People don't snore, like, wow, not much going on, no snoring. Anyway, okay, so somehow I almost missed you, but wow, thank you, Lord, for that. Almost missed it, you know, but didn't miss it. Sometimes we think we're gonna miss it. Are we in the right place at the right time? Are we missing it? Are we not missing it? And the Lord said, you're not going to miss it. You're going to know. That's the thing about, it says, my sheep know my voice. Knowing means you know. Not I'm guessing, not I'm hoping, not I think it looks like it. And we go through that time, too, where it looks like, and we think it is, and we're waiting until we know. So when you know, once you know, then you know. That's it. If I don't know something, sometimes I've moved without knowing. You know, Abraham and Sarah moved without knowing. They just had to, you know, get this thing going somehow or another. So they did it without knowing. And so, you know, because knowing is knowing from God. I thank you, Lord, for her knowing in all of her decisions, all of her thinking, all of her new stuff. You got all this new territory, this new vehicle, all this stuff that she will know. Her knower's going to know. Because knowing, when you've been around like we have, you know, knowing is everything. Get off into guessing and putting 2 + 2 together, you know, those things can be okay, but it's only 50-50 maybe sometimes. And that, for me, guessing is more like 10, I get 10% right and miss out on 90%. But some people get 50-50, they're pretty good. But we don't want that. We don't want guessing. We don't want 2 + 2 = 4. We want the God, what he's out, if I know her, I want to know. And I thank you, Lord, for this whole time she's been going through. Her knower is coming alive. Her knower is becoming more sensitive to knowing, and knowing that she knows, instead of, well, I know, or do I think I know? Do I know? Do I think I know? And knowing that you know. And so there's many times that you know. And I thank you, Jesus, that her knower is activated and moving and living and breathing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. But in this season of time, you know, the reason Jesus knew that Peter was hearing from God about him being the Messiah was because his knower heard it. You hear and you know. That came from the Father, Peter. Good job. Pull this off a bit later. So I thank you, Lord, for the knowing, the building of her life, this new season of her life, building, God, in Jesus' name, and the knowing that works in the midst of all of it, for opening that up, breathing that, speaking it, moving it, Jesus' name, the knowing. Hallelujah. Wow, my sheep know. All right. Very cool. So what am I doing here? Oh, great. Okay. All right, Greg, 480. Hey, Greg, I got you, Greg. Hi, Greg from Arizona. Thank you, Lord, for Greg God calling on the name of the Lord. All right, so it seems like sometime. All right. I commend, therefore, purge himself from these things, shall be acceptable and honor, sanctified, meet for the master of youth. Okay, here we go. All right. Okay, this is 1 Timothy, this is 2 Timothy. Yes, this is 2 Timothy 2, right? Verse 21, 22. Okay, and in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them, and call on the name of the Lord of a pure heart. Right. Yeah. So that's kind of like, so really cool. So God's really doing the cleansing, like we all go through cleansing times, and you know, the world gets crazy, and so we start, you know, God starts, like He says, be a vessel of honor. He's made you to be, He wants you to be a vessel of honor, so He says, flee these things, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call upon the name of the Lord with a pure heart. Right? Yeah. But it says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness in instructing those that oppose themselves. God's servant should give them repentance, to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, but taken captive by his will, by him at his will. Yeah, wow. Okay, so God really trying to bring that anointing and show you that He sanctified you as a vessel of honor. And so sometimes we have to cleanse ourselves. You know, there's seasons and times. I've told this before on the show that I've gone to ministries that don't even know who I am. You know, I just go out, you know, and find, you know, some, you know, a minister that led by the Spirit of God, and go and just subject myself to them, because I want to be cleansed and washed. I want to be a meat for the master's use. And so I see God really doing this with you and helping you out with that, amen, to purge you and to make you a vessel, because you are a vessel of honor, my brother, to be sanctified, meat for the master's use, and prepared under every good work. That's what God's doing. He's preparing you under every good work. Not just some good works, but the every good work in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Okay. Who am I forgetting here? Okay. We want to... Hi, Marja. Yes. Okay, Margie, I got you, all right? Are you there?
Hello, Prophet Randy, yes.
Margie, okay, great.
Margie from Illinois.
Yes, thank you very much. All right, Margie, thank you, I got you. All right, Margie. Thank you, God, for visitation. Lord, I thank you for the visitation of the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for visitation. Visitation meaning, you know, visitation isn't always just God showing up, but it's things that you've been praying for showing up, things that you've been believing God for showing up. That's visitation. I thank you, Lord, for visitation of the Spirit, God. Visit her money. Visit her personal life. Visit her intimate life. God, in Jesus' name, let there be visitations of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Like I said, visitation isn't always just, you know, having some private outpouring of the Holy Spirit on your life, which is awesome and amazing, but it can be, you know, visitation can be God bringing an answer, bringing something to pass, bringing something before you, saying, okay, showing you how close it is or how it's right there in front of you, or it's right here. Thank you, Lord, for that visitation in Jesus' name to get her eyes on you, God, in a brand new level, in a brand new way, knowing that, you know, it's right here. I'm right here. It's happening. It's right in front of you. Just like with Sarah and Abraham, you know, the answer, you know, was right in front of them, and they couldn't see it. The disciples on the way to the road to Emmaus, that Jesus, right there in front of them, but they couldn't see it. And then he broke bread with them and opened their eyes where they could see. Thank you, Jesus, for being able to see in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If we can't see, we can't see, right? But once we see, we know. And I thank you, Lord, for that anointing on her life in Jesus' name. Did I lose them? All right, 940-224. Talk to the phone, please.
This is Michael.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Mike. All right, good everything. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Michael from Texas. Thank you, Jesus. Michael, Father, I thank you for the heart you've given him to, you know, to get right and stay right. You know, we do things, we mess up things sometimes, we make wrong decisions, do that kind of thing. But just like David, you know, what makes us have a heart after God is we come to God. We say we trust God. Okay, God, you know, I got passionate, I got, you know, whatever. And, you know, and it's like, you know, even through our mess up and those decisions, sometimes even though it costs us a little bit, God takes it and he works it out for good. Amen. He takes our ashes. And so God wants you to keep your mind on the fact that he takes our ashes and he creates something new with it. It's like he did with King David. King David really messed up. But you know what? God gave him a son and built a temple from the woman he had that relationship with. You know, even the first child died. Remember that? But the second child was Solomon. And Solomon ended up building the temple that David wanted to build. So that was quite a restoration of God. So because God loved David, and David had a heart for God. He always got it right with God. It wasn't about getting it right with people. Yeah, if we hurt people, we go back and get it right with them. But the main thing is that we focus on getting our heart, we keep our heart right with God, and God will tell us what to do with it. Once we get right with him, once we keep our heart pure, keep it right, where we have confidence, our heart doesn't condemn us. When our heart condemns us, we lose all of our confidence. That's why I talk about the condemnation thing so much, because once you have that condemnation on you, you don't even know it most of the time, it keeps you from having confidence. It's the whole, and without confidence, that's what faith is. Faith is confidence. Well, I thank you, Lord, for Michael, God, for taking care of that condemnation for that in Jesus' name. And let his heart be ready and know that, like David had a heart after God. He knew how to get right with God, man. He knew how to repent, man. A dude knew how to repent. He knew how to get messing up. And he could get it right with God, and God would be happy with him. So I thank you, Lord, for showing that to Michael, letting Michael see that, Father. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. God loves, you know, he knows, the Bible, the Bible says, when you sin, when you mess up or whatever, you make a wrong decision, you have an advocate with the Father to help you. Yeah, in Jesus' name, let it be done. But 214-434, who am I talking to in front, please?
It's Kimberly in Texas.
Hi, Kimberly.
Hello.
Kimberly. Hi, good to have you. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for Kimberly tonight, God. Thank you for that that special place. I feel like there's a special place in your heart that God's going to satisfy and fulfill. There's some things that we have, like a very special place in the heart. We need to guard that. Guard that special place. Don't let the enemy take advantage of it. Don't let the enemy, you know, just that, you know, anything and anybody take that place or find that place in your heart. God, that she will guard her heart, God, and protect her heart. You will show her how to do that. She's the same, so that when her heart connects to that thing, that place, that person, God, that it will be the right one, the right thing, the right person, the right, and her heart will be satisfied. Her heart will find contentment. Her heart will find, yeah, that feeds me. Yeah, that takes. Yeah, that blesses me. Yeah, I take that. So whenever we get fed, by the thing that we're pursuing after, and it actually feeds us and nurtures us and brings us, then we know that's God. Whatever we're partaking of, it brings us peace, satisfaction, and you know, in our spirit man, it is always God. So I thank you, Lord, for that. Kimberly, in Jesus' name, show her how to taste and see of the Lord's things, that they are good. They should see that the Lord is good, and that she will see how to do that. Learn how to taste of life, taste of situations, taste of circumstances, taste them and see. Yeah, and I thank you, John, for her ability to taste, for her ability to see, in Jesus' name, and see that whether it's good or not good. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, you can also taste and see that whatever the thing is, it's not good. Yeah. If it's the Lord, it's good. But if it's not, and it tastes bad, has a bitter taste in your mouth, you know that's not right. Not good. So bless her, help her, Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, awesome. All right, we did it. We made it through. I think I got everybody. Is anybody listening tonight that I haven't ministered to yet? I've got everyone. It's been a minute or two. A lot of ministry. Woo! Amen. All right, 469-553. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, this is Barbara from Texas. I want to pray for Carisha.
Carisha?
Carisha. Mm-hmm.
Carisha. Okay. All right, Barbara, thank you. All right, Carisha. Barbara. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Carisha. Thank you, Lord, for Carisha and the confusion. And in any confusion on, you know, the enemy tries to confuse us. Where there is confusion, it's every evil work. Where there's confusion, we thank you, Lord, we take authority over confusion, where Carisha will be able to have peace and a settled mind, knowing that sometimes the energy that we get is anxiety, and it makes us, you know, uneasy, confused. It creates, you know, like bad energy creates, you know, creates confusion. And I thank you, Lord, that her heart be free, that her mind be free. That God, you teach her how to keep herself clean and washed and free. And when she makes mistakes or sins or fails, God, she learns how to come to the loving God who knows we're going to work our way through life and make mistakes and sin and fail and come short. And he's there graciously to forgive us and wash us. God, that you and that, and when you do cleanse us and wash us, that confusion leaves us, because when we have things going on in our life that are messing us with us, keeping us from peace, it's just not good. So I thank you, Lord, for letting her find out who she is, and what she really believes. Show her how to believe in the right things. Sometimes we don't believe in the right things. Our doctrine's not right. We don't believe in the Word of God like God wants us to. So I thank you, Lord, for teaching her your, you know, correct doctrine, because that helps you get on a stable foundation. And when things come your way, it doesn't shake you and move you as bad. Ben, yeah. So, hallelujah. Let that be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. And for Barbara, God, we thank you, Lord, for Barbara, that you, we get a blessing. We learn how to, God either says, give that blessing away or learn how to, you know, multiply it, learn how to plant it, learn how to, plant in our own backyard. We plant things, we give things away, but we also can plant in our own backyard. Show her when to plant in her own backyard and when to plant outside of her backyard, other than the life. We plant, if we're not planting our own gardens and have our own supply, we learn how taking care of ourselves. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself. So when you love yourself, you take care of yourself, because you know if you're not taking care of yourself, how are you going to take care of others? But I thank you, Lord, for showing Barbara that place of freedom, knowing that we got to nurture ourselves, take care of ourselves, so that we can go out and help take care of others and be a blessing to others. How can we serve others when we're not serving our own needs, taking care of our business, taking care of things? And I thank you, Lord, that you've given her the strength and understanding how to, not feel guilty or bad because she's taking care of herself, right? So when you take care of yourself, then you can go out from then on because you're strong and you're built up and you have strength. So you're taking care of yourself in Jesus, and you can go out and take care of others. Hallelujah. Bless her with that, God, that wisdom, that understanding, in the name of Jesus, where she will walk free of any kind of condemnation or whatever that tries to come to her and say, you're selfish taking care of yourself. No, we can take care of ourselves. We can't take care of what God wants us to take care of. So open her up to that, God, in a brand new way. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And bless her with God with that wisdom from above. It's the wisdom from above that we need, not from beneath or from our own selves, but your wisdom, God. And Barbara has that. She walks in that. Let that increase inside of her in the name of the Lord. All right, 585-436. Hang on a second. Yeah, hello?
Hello, this is Anonymous.
Hello, Anonymous, okay. Were you on earlier and then you...
Yeah, I was, but okay. I was thinking that it didn't go through because you said that there wasn't anybody else, so I undid it and did it again.
Okay, I got you, but I already ministered to you. I ministered to you even though... you didn't answer, so you can go back and listen to that if you want. Yeah, and I can pray for you again too, but I did minister to you when I saw your number. I don't know that I knew that was you for sure, but I thought it might have been, but I didn't know for sure. So I ministered to you not knowing who you were, so you might go back and listen. Might be pretty cool. Thank you, Jesus, for the activity, God, that you're showing Anonymous how to walk in the activity, God. That God gives, like the same thing with getting a word from God. Is the word coming from God, or are we just picking a scripture out? You know, is it being breathed by God, spoken to by God? Is it for us, or is it just in the Bible? Is it a dead word or a living word? I thank you, Lord, that the only way the word of God can come alive is when the Holy Ghost raises it from the dead. When Christ was dead. The Holy Spirit was the one who raised him from the dead. So, Lord, teaching her the activity that she walked in, whether it's dead activity or living activity, right? Is it dead works or is it living works? Because we all have to learn how to, walk in that. Dead works are everywhere. A lot of people live in dead works all their life, thinking it's biblical, it's scriptural, it's religious, it's whatever, but it's not alive. Thank you, Lord, for helping Anonymous find out the activity of the Holy Spirit, what he's activating, what he's saying, this is right, this is not right. Amen, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so go back and listen to that word earlier. Okay, I mentioned your number. I said your number so you know which one it is, but because I read the number out, even though I was not sure who it was. Okay, all right, awesome. Whoops.
Yes, sir.
Okay, 469. Oh, there's Barbara? Okay. Barbara, I already got you. Sorry. All right. Awesome. Okay. Wow. Woo! What a night, man. Like, Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, I ministered to everybody that has their hand up. So if you didn't have your hand up, I didn't get you. So, interesting. Okay. Wow. All right. I think I got everyone as far as I can know. I can tell. Yeah, I know I did, yeah. Cool. All right. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You're welcome, Carmen. Thank you. All right, y'all, I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. That was auto ministry, administer almost midnight. Amen. Cool. All right. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Well, I'm going to call it a night unless somebody gets their hand up real quick. Like. Quick. All right. You're welcome. Thank you, guys. Thank you for being with us. And thank you, Tanya. Pray for Tanya. Say, pray for Tanya. Okay, Tanya. Sure. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Tanya, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the darkness. That the Bible says, let not that light that is in you be darkness. Sometimes we think we know things. Sometimes we think we have a light on a situation. And it not be, it's not the light of God. It's just our own understanding. Because the Bible says, let not that light that is in you be darkness. You know, it doesn't look like darkness. It looks like light. Not the light that is in you be darkness. So we compare the glory of God to the light, our own understanding. I thank you, Lord, for Tanya, to bring Tanya into understanding, you know, the will of God. Not just the scripture can say a lot of different things, but the will of God is the will of God. The will of God is a particular thing that God says do. Scriptures have a thousand different things you can do or say, but the will of God is the will of God. And the will of God is always scriptural. It's always based on the Word of God. So, Lord, I thank you for Tanya, that she will find herself, God, yielded to your will and not going by her own understanding, but by seeking God and looking. God is always loving when people ask him, please help me, please straighten me up, please forgive me, please help me. He is right there jolly on the spot. He loves to cleanse and wash. He loves to bless his people. He loves to give information. He loves to show them his way. It's his favorite thing to show you his way. His way is bright. His way is light, the real light, the true light. Thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Lord, for Tanya, that she will find herself making decisions from the light of God, the light from the living word, from the living, breathing word. Jesus Christ was standing right in front of all those religious people, and he told them, you think in the scripture you have life, but I am salvation. I am, they're talking, I am what I am. And you're looking right at me, and you still can't see that it's talking about me. And this is literally what happens. They have their own light, and their own light blinds them from the true light. I thank you, Lord, that you turn the light. In Jesus' name, inspire and fill and give revelation in Jesus' name to Tanya. Amen. Concerning peace. And God wants to prosper, but it has to be done by God. By God, by God, by God, by God, by God. By the Lord. All right, y'all. That's it. I'm going to call it a night. Thank you very much. All right. Bless everybody. It's midnight my time. Okay. Bye-bye.